This is Cube Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I hit the wrong button is what I did. Get ready to say hello, and I muted all the microphones instead of just turning on the one I needed. Hi, it's 7 o'clock. You're in Studio C. This is the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Katie June and Al Perkins. There's just the three of us this week.
I'm going to talk into the microphone.
And the first thing Al comes into the studio and wonders is, where are all those wine corks coming from in the container on the table, realizing they're his wine corks?
He's the wine drinker.
Well, happy National Drink Wine
now,
Day.
Now, that's
to
news
you both.
To me. Now, your sister alerted you to this lovely holiday?
My cousin Chrissy.
Oh, cousin.
It was very exciting that it's the purpose of the celebratory day is to spread the love and health benefits of wine.
Well, cheers, Al.
I was just going to go with love of wine.
Well,
cheers.
For those of you who
and if we you look don't, like the picture.
If you don't, oh, yeah, it's perfect.
Lovely. If you don't have wine, enjoy whatever libation you'd like to, because we're going to drink, I still drink Crown, and you guys are both drinking wine. What's with the orange thing you were doing earlier? What's that?
Well, it's kind of my new thing.
Good to have a thing.
This week,
I hosted Bunko the other night, and I was not drinking, and I was doing club soda and orange slices.
And Bunko's a game?
It's a dice game.
Dice game, all right.
It is, yeah, it's really funny, because it's like old ladies in Sun City play, and also my girlfriends and I from college.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
Who are well on your way of being to being old ladies in Sun City.
Vistancia, though, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm moving out there. Club soda and oranges, try it out.
Okay.
It's like a very refreshing cocktail-ish without the cocktail.
It's almost a summertime drink, and since it was 90 degrees today in Phoenix, I think it fits right in.
Yeah.
Was it? It didn't feel.
Well,
I have to say, it didn't
somewhere
feel 90.
It was 85 when I called Boston earlier today just to rub that in for a client. But no, it was another gorgeous day. But you can't beat this past weekend. Including Monday, it's insanely beautiful.
Really beautiful, but it is. It's already, and God's. Strike me down. The second time I've said that, so actually don't strike me down today when I walk
just
out
kidding.
Of here. Just JK, JK, hashtag just kidding. So, but it is a little bit warm. And so Palmer and I in the springtime, which should be now.
Winter.
Right. It should be winter.
But we
like to go outside and we play outside a lot.
Sure.
And I really love to take advantage of the nice weather. Well, it's almost at the point where, you know, kind of that 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock is
too
noon,
hot.
1 to 2 is almost too hot to be out in the sun playing. And, you know, once it's 3 and the shade kind of starts to come over the house, then we're back in.
Yeah.
And then it's amazing to
be
outside.
I had my doors and windows open, and I did not notice that it was particular. I'm also in the Stone Cold Palace, which,
right.
Let's keep that in mind.
Doesn't turn into the pizza oven until around June. So it was cool and delightful in my house. I had everything open, and I slept like a babe. It was just delightful.
It's so nice. We have our doors and windows open. And a friend of mine was posting on Facebook that her teenage daughter is already pissed because she won't turn the air on. She's
Jesus.
Bitch, it's February.
Yeah.
Mama's not turning the air on until at least May.
I mean, unless she wants to get a second or third job and help pay that power bill.
Yeah. She's wear a tank top. Yeah. I'm not turning on the air conditioner.
If people came over and we were you know what I mean? And there was people sitting around making the house warmer, perhaps. But not
if you're having a gathering.
Yeah. For a very short period of time.
For those of you who don't know much about the weather in Phoenix right now, currently, as we come to you, it's 74 degrees right here in Central Phoenix.
And it's nighttime. It's
amazing. Right.
It's beautiful. Now, going throughout the week, we had a high of 86 today, and then we do go down to a frigid 77 come Thursday.
Burrito.
Back up into the mid-80s, and then by next Tuesday, we'll be at 77 for a daytime high. Our overnight lows are still in the mid-50s to high 40s. But it's just stupidly gorgeous.
I
quit wearing a windbreaker for riding my bike at night because it's just too nice.
The hoodie's in the basket, but it's just for show now. It's not going on.
I did the, and I think I've said this here before, that my favorite thing in the whole wide world when the weather gets warm is I like to walk out of I'm indoors somewhere and the air is on, and this was actually at the grocery store. So it's cold and they have the freezer section, and I walk out and I'm kind of cold and I'm wearing a t-shirt, and I walk and it's nighttime and I think it's going to be cold, and
it's
I walk in
lovely.
And it's like, oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I want to walk slowly to my car and I just want to stay outside.
Depending on what part of the valley you're in, walking slowly to your car from any nighttime grocery store could
probably
be questionable.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. Especially if you look like the carefree woman who's not looking around for her surroundings.
Who's like literally got her arms in the air.
She's doing a scene from The Sound of Music twirling.
Yeah.
Although the twirling maniac on top of a mountain might detract.
Might do good.
Yeah, I'll fit in at the crack fries.
Twirl more at the crack fries. If you don't know which crack fries we're talking about, just go to any one of them. You'll figure it out because they all have a little bit of
They're
loveliness.
All a little cracky.
They all have a little bit of extra something special. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now, what wine? Crown Royal and Water is what I got. Now, are you having a special wine for this wine day? What the hell is it called?
Mine's a McManus Pinot. And it is not particularly special other than that it was on sale at AJ's.
That's special.
And I just love the sommeliers at AJ's, and they're really wonderful. They're very knowledgeable. And
oh, you go to AJ's for your wine. You're fancy.
I do. But I only shop from the bottom shelf. But bottom shelf at AJ's is like top shelf at Crack Fries.
Okay.
So, you know.
That's a true story.
It's better than anything.
Crack Fries is slim.
Oh, bad. It's
rough.
That's
where you walk out with that barefoot bubbly shit because you're this is as good as it gets here.
Yeah. So I can't go to Fry's, so I go to AJ's. But I love it because they always come up to me, and they've got to know me at this point because I'm always the one that is crouched down on the ground looking at the bottom shelf. Like, I don't even go to the second shelf. Like, I'm talking $12.99.
Okay.
Maybe $12.99 to, like, $14.99.
Reasonably priced.
Yeah, I'm pressed to go any higher than $20 for a bottle of wine because I'm about to just drink it all, no matter what. No matter what. So I'm on
the
bottom.
You gotta be some pretty shitty swill for me to.
Yeah. Barefoot, actually. I think I wouldn't drink that. My sister-in-law.
No, we polished off a bottle of that once.
Oh, good. Good to know. My sister-in-law did come over with Sutter Home the other day. That's what she drinks. And she knows. She knows it's terrible, and she gets that it's embarrassing. That I didn't touch.
Yeah.
So the Sutter Home.
Their Chardonnay just gives the whole lot a bad name.
It's bad. But anyhow. So yeah, I'm crouched down and he walks by and he says, "What do you want?" And I said, "Cheap Pinot." And he goes, "McManus." And I said, "Thanks." And I grabbed it and I was out. It was an easy little.
Do you go by there every Tuesday before you come here directly? Or is that like a midweek you just stop by randomly?
Most days.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, here's why. I don't buy...
You can buy it in cases.
I don't generally do that, and I know it's the most foolish thing. I'm going to spend the money regardless, but it's easier for me to buy a bottle, maybe two at a time.
Okay.
It's cheaper in my head than if I buy it all at once.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
They also make trucks that'll just shop by and put pallets of this wine out for you. And
they
then...
do. I'm actually a sucker for when they're...
Al's crying.
Shedding
for
a tear.
Those of you who can't see.
You know that as a child, they used to deliver... seriously, the truck would come down our street when I was little and deliver cases of beer... And then the Charles Chips people would come and deliver snacks to our house like we were a pub.
Oh, and really?
Because my dad and then the two neighbors on the street that we were always close to, they would divide it up for the weekend. And he would he had a dolly. He had a hand truck and he would
completely
hand truck them to the neighbors. Like we would get...
I have never heard of that before.
We had beer deliveries on Fridays.
Now, I knew about the Schwann's food truck that I've known of, and then there's different you can get certain.
I don't think they're allowed to do that anymore.
Well, maybe not anymore.
Yeah. I'd say no.
We are talking about the 70s. That was a era of beer delivery.
I just loved it about my childhood that there was a beer truck delivery to
I've
my house.
Never heard
of that. And Charles Chips. With various snacks were brought
you,
to the home.
You were fun. You were like the fun peeps on the street.
You were.
My
dad was frugal.
Yeah.
There's you.
Now, if we buy in bulk and just get the shit delivered right to our house.
Now, was there some deal with
Nabisco?
He may have had a backdoor deal with Nabisco since he worked there and he had some.
Oh, yeah. We got that brought home all the time.
Right. But he brought that home. But there wasn't a Nabisco truck that showed up and delivered shit for you.
Could you imagine?
Wouldn't that have been fantastic? I'd like to say hello to Kevin from Simi Valley in Southern California. I don't know that Kevin. Has Kevin been with us, or is this somebody that I'm not realizing who they are? Not sure. But hello, Kevin.
Yeah, it's where I'll stare blankly at it. Like all of a sudden his face is going to appear. Yeah. We're all huh.
We're all just looking at the chat room. Good for us. Stimulating talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, right here from Studio C. C stands for confusion.
It stands for celebrating wine day a little too quickly.
We are the Kathy Lee and Hoda of today, are we not?
Oh my God, I can't believe, did I write that down?
What?
I have to write. You, oh no, it's in the text.
We got it.
Oh my god, I'm already sweating. I'm laughing so hard at that.
That was one of the funniest stories of the whole day. Katie June,
yeah.
You brought some fun news to me today in regards to the HRC. Yeah. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I am still doing the Voice of God for it coming up on the 29th.
The 29th of March,
which is my mom's birthday.
Yes.
But it also is, you arranged it so that my mom can go with me.
Yeah. So we have a complimentary ticket. And when I asked that was something that we could do, they said, well, I can't believe we haven't done it sooner. You've been so generous to us the last few years, giving your time and your talents. So
More time than anything else.
Although I was...
Can I get a full description of those talents?
Of God this weekend at the Fresh Brunch. Uh-huh. And I had been doing the logistics, and I don't think that they had given much thought to it, to be totally honest, because the day before, they're like, also you're going to do the Voice of God. Mm. Oh,
okay. Is there a script
unique
written out?
New York. I wrote it. Okay. So there was also that.
Got it.
Me. And I was a little bit intimidated. And I mean, not that it certainly is, it's not a hard thing to do to talk into a microphone and read a script. But, you know, it's like making your voice compelling.
We do it every week.
Is she talking to someone that's not?
No, but I'm saying...
called listeners. When
you are the voice of the whole event, I mean, right. There's a kind of a lot riding on that, and you're moving it along.
That's true, and that is one of the nerve-wracking things when you go segment to segment. Number one, there are, you know, John Smith and Betty Smith are not the only names you read.
Never.
There are some names in there that you don't know, and you have to, in some cases, I try to find them and go through and make sure that they tell me.
I did some of that.
Somebody before has said, no, it's pronounced this way. And they pronounce it a totally different way.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like tomato, tomato. Some people say it differently. So I try to yield to whatever they actually how they pronounce it. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. But what is nerve wracking is not only that is there is typically they're transitioning from one segment of the event night to another, and there's theme music, and there's a slide that flies in with it, and then you've got an on cue hit, and now welcome to the stage, representing blah, blah, it's all in
and
time.
You just have such a good show voice. It's very commanding, and
this year I'm doing it all as Carol Channing. They don't they don't know that yet.
Heard it described as masculine.
alleged.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is. But your voice is very commanding, and you're very
because I yell at people.
But you're saying, here's what we're doing next,
right.
and that was. I know that it sounds silly, but that was not that. I was kind of intimidated to be the voice that is.
It's
moving it all along. And we're actually, we don't have an MC, and so we're using you more for that this year.
Oh, well, that's quite all right.
Which is good.
I'll take some DayQuil, and we'll be ready to go.
So anyway, we're really excited. Your mom will be at my table, and we're
close
to the center.
She's
going to
sit with your mom and you, so that'll
be folks,
fun.
And
since I don't drink that night, I'll be a perfect designated driver for mom. That all works out well.
We can give her some of your drink tickets then.
Sure. So mom, you already knew you were doing
it. Very Mama Di, but I was just excited to get that official confirmation.
I'm excited for it too. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yep.
Fun. So what else? Aside from that, what else? Anything else new? You got a new drink, the new diets, anybody anything here?
No.
Okay. We're wrapping up. And we're gonna skip Marnie's chair this week because she's not there.
She'll be here in just 7 short days. Yeah.
She'll be here in a couple weeks. Unfortunately, Marnie had to go back to the Twin Cities area to take care of some family business. So she and Ernie, actually, they're in town tonight, but they leave very early in the morning and they're packing and getting stuff ready. So
I heard something sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. So,
but hey, life goes on. They knew it was coming. So she, in fact, told me last week.
We kind of all know it's coming, but
just never know when. It's always a surprise.
Surprise. But they're going to, I mean, it's like not warm there.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's icy.
It's a little chilly.
So they got
Aaron always has that thing about how, she hates the heat. She wants to live somewhere cold. We're like, all right, lady. Here we go.
Because that's really the worst.
Here's Minnesota in February. Good luck.
5 days, go.
Yeah. When the snot freezes to your sweater,
it's such a different packing experience naturally. But I just so appreciate when I was going to DC and I'm going through my closet and I'm really legitimately,
you want to wear that?
Have anything but tank tops. And I'm packing and I'm like, is this cute? And Kelly's like, no, that's fucking freezing. This is cute for like Arizona winter night, which as you've all heard is like in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. And I just said it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it all the time though when I pack. Like I can't pack, like when I go home, because I usually go back to New York, either near into the city or home. in January and I can't pack correctly.
Right.
Because it's a beautiful day outside. So I'm like putting a sweater and I'm like, well, what when am I gonna will I wear this?
It is right. really
But then there's like 18 hard. T-shirts that I'm like, that when I get there, I'm like,
I'm never going to wear
the
this.
Fuck? Was I thinking? But it is really hard to pack when it's 70 and sunny. It's hard to pack.
Oh,
for
yeah. It makes no sense. It just
winter.
Makes no
it's
sense.
Hard in your brain.
And I know I've shared the story before with you, but one time my mom and I flew back home and we fly into Tulsa International before we drive the 2 hours.
Tulsa International.
That's what it's called. It's called TIA, Tulsa International Airport. Mm. We fly into there and drive the hour and a half up the highway to get to our hometown. And so one Christmas, we were going home. This is back in the mid-90s. And like you said, you know, you're dressing for here. You're packing. You're kind of sweating because you're getting ready to go to the airport. And you're running around. We didn't pack a damn thing for winter, and we get out of the airport, and it's all good. And that first set of double doors opens, and we get hit with that blast, and we're all in thin linen shirts. And we're like, holy shit.
Oh, shit. We forgot it's winter.
Totally
other places
forgot that.
In the world.
We couldn't get to that rental car fast enough. And then it was leather seats. We're like, God damn it.
That's truly when you know it that God
winter,
hates you.
It is other places.
But it all worked out well. But yeah, you do. You live here, you completely forget. And I'm sure it's the reverse when people pack, you know, from somewhere else to come visit here for our lovely holiday weather, or if they come here for the holidays, yeah. They bring way too many heavy clothes.
Oh yeah, because it might dip down to the tens.
Oh god,
that's what a friend of mine was
decade.
Saying when we were in DC that the reverse had happened. One of her friends from college in Michigan had come out to visit her in, you know, right around February, and she brought nothing but like sweatshirts and pants and all these things, and she's going, no, you're not going to wear any of those things,
right?
But need to go buy you some t-shirts.
I was unaware of like anything that happens in Seattle. So I went to Seattle for a birthday party in November. And I just thought,
it was
the same shitty weather that they always have. Oh. But I thought, you know, 60, rainy, icky. And then I got off the plane and it was snowing. And I'm like, can we turn the plane around? I'm not prepared for it
for
to be
this.
Like, yeah. I just assumed that, I didn't know they had winter there.
It's amazing. All these ways to look up data on internet.
I know, if only
nobody,
there was a device where you could look up the weather in other zip codes just prior to boarding a plane.
Yes, exactly.
If there's listeners that want
while
to start
packing.
Working on this, maybe I would suggest maybe a www to start off your search.
If only Al Roker had an app.
A world wide web, something or other.
It sounds like a good way to start the title.
Put it on the internet.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
The interwebs, whatever those might be.
Yes, we do. There's alleged data.
Have you seen the when the internet was, when Al, you know,
Gore.
What's his name? Thanks, Gore, invented the internet. And they have a Today Show segment of the hosts going, oh, I don't know. It's something called the internets. And it's legitimate. I mean, they really are just discovering it for the first time. Anyway, it's taped. You can Google it. It's the Today Show learning the internet. It's hilariously funny.
I haven't seen that particular one, which I will look it up. But there is another one. It pops up occasionally around Facebook as all things get rehashed. Not hashtag, but rehashed. And it's the like the first story in the early 80s. Where they were able to, you were able to log in, and though it took you hours to do it, you could read.
I've seen that.
You could read the newspaper from other cities, and it's only text. And it, but like it took you 20 minutes to download like a page.
I think we talked about that.
We may
on
have
the show,
but it was
yeah,
it was very
that.
Funny. And then they were all the news anchors are like, "Well, it might catch on. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I can be out of a job in 20 years."
Yeah,
and my favorite is it The Net with Sandra Bullock? One of my favorite Saturday afternoons in a hotel movie.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my god, I was so intrigued by that. Like, what is she? What is these things she's doing? She orders pizza. No one knows who she is. She lives in a cave.
It's you!
Exactly.
It's so Al Bullock, ladies and gentlemen.
When I got a computer and like the whole house didn't like ring up that I had mail and I didn't make 7,000 like invisible friends, like she was, you know, all
so
these.
Funny.
And what's the other one? Copycat. That's another early one with Holly Hunter and Sigourney Weaver.
Early interwebs.
She's all on the net and all the things that they do on the net and the copy paste and putting people's faces, like photoshopping stuff. It's really cool to watch that technology.
The
in
old
its,
technology.
Like, absolute infancy.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to be a shut-in.
This is going to be awesome.
You didn't even know the joys of Netflix was going to bring to you and those other things. I mean, you just knew the HBO and Cinemax at the time.
Thank you. My God. Thank you, Netflix.
Netflix, one of the greatest inventions.
Really
lifetime.
True.
Oh, you and Michael will get along well. Because he he's all into that. That was one of the first things I had to do was I had to get the internet into that room because he's like, what am I going to hold my Apple TV to? Because that's where all my stuff is.
What will I do in this room?
He needed three things mounted to the wall, flat screen, a shelf above the flat screen, and a cabinet below the flat screen to hold all of his shit.
I love priorities.
And then he did the rest of it.
I do love someone who prioritizes. Yes.
But... It's funny stuff. Mr. Perkins, you've been a busy woman, I'm sure.
I did a wine tasting party. It was Wines for Humanity, which I can't wait to get the wines.
I have heard about Wines for Humanity.
I'm surprised you weren't there.
I was invited to an event previously, and I was not able to attend, so tell me about it.
Was it through Christy?
I don't recall. It was a friend of mine, Bob, had actually won it in a silent auction some event, or he bid on it.
Because one of your friend Christy Denny's co-workers... is the person that that hosted the
fun.
She was your wine seller.
Yeah.
And then my friend Katrina was the host.
And the Waves?
Yeah, and both Waves were there.
And walking on sunshine.
It was kind of fun. I have no idea if the humanity part's true. But I think so. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't really care. It's wine.
Seems to get the job done.
If somebody gets a buck or two for a homeless person, God bless you. You know what I mean? God bless us one and all. I really didn't give a shit.
I'm drinking wine, and you may or may not have shoes tonight. So that's good.
One of us is happy. The other one may be shoeless. Poorly shod. But it was fun, and I really want to like do it and have it like something for us. But I think they would have to up the ante for like the people I know. It was really like the level that they did it for was people that were like really, 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 really new to wine.
Okay,
like it kind of was like this is a grape.
Well, this remedial wine tasting.
It wasn't even remedial. It was very beginner. It was good. It was a lot of fun. The trivia questions, it got ridiculous.
That is hilarious. Because this is a grape.
Well, they did like the and she's wonderful. Jessica hosted it. She brought like a thing of corks and she had trivia questions. Well, you know, I was there with people that don't know me very well because they were willing to play trivia against me.
Super bad idea.
Just give up.
So like I had to like have a separate table for all the corks I had at the end. But they were asking like move like this movie about this person married to Mark Antony. And I'm like, Cleopatra. And they're like, I'm like, well, who else was married to Mark? I mean,
I would never do trivia against you. Like, same team, sign me up. But against you, I quit before it begins.
It was just funny. And there was, like, lots of movie trivia. And I'm like, it's not fair to the other goers.
I thought it was going to be wine trivia.
That's what I was going to say.
Which you also would have won.
No, there was, yeah, they went wine to, like, Bible. I even won the Bible questions. It got funny after a while.
Well, you know your fiction. That's good to know.
Yeah, exactly. And it was because the one was about Noah. And I'm like, I just guessed Noah. They were like, What man in the Bible was the first to grow grapes for wine? And I'm like, I don't know, Noah. And they're like, that's it. And I'm like, no, I just named a man in the Bible. Like, I had no fucking idea.
We had Matthew and Michael and Peter and John and all these other people.
One of them had to have eventually had a glass of wine for the love of Jesus.
And you had a grew something?
And you'd suppose it would be Noah. He's put himself on that fucking boat. Yeah. He needs a lot of wine.
And that movie's coming out. I'm not sure.
Which movie is this?
Noah.
Oh, the movie Noah.
The movie Noah.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then Olympics, 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 Olympics. NBC, SN, if there weren't already 7 million reasons to have cable, NBC, SN, with almost all live coverage in the morning because 5 a.m. our time in the morning is prime time. Well, not quite prime time. It's like their afternoon stuff. And then when I get home at like 8 o'clock in the morning, that is straight up figure skating. Like that really is their prime time coverage in Sochi. So it's live.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that's all the Johnny Weir, the Lady Weir.
The Lady Weir
coverage.
And if you are not, those listeners who are out there, if you're not already following Al Perkins on Facebook, do just to read the updates on Lady Weir, what he's wearing, and the entire dissertation, your analysis of the day. I think it's funny I don't give a shit about it.
I do love the Olympics. It is Al T. Perkins's commentary is one of my favorite parts of the 2014 Sochi Olympics.
Honest to God, yes.
It has been so much fun. And I started off kind of being
they should really hire you.
A tiny bit mad at him. Like just a tiny bit annoyed with him. But it like the first day, I think he's a little bitter that he's not there because he is like a true Olympian. He's been there twice.
Yeah, right.
And I went back and watched his skates from 2010
he's
in
really,
Vancouver.
He's really fantastic.
He had two now, clean programs, and it's just the
he's
politics.
Not a medalist.
No, but he finished sixth. He finished in the top tier, did really well. It's the politics of it. Like they were never going to put him much higher than that. Like but solid program and one of the best skaters that was there in 2010.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but his commentary with Terry Lipinski, they're kind of fun together. Turns out they're best friends. They have adjoining rooms.
They are.
They're dressing together. They're sharing jewelry.
Oh, they're hilarious. They're just making me laugh.
There's nice commentary, but then they know when to shut up. And they even say, like, that was so good, we felt no need to talk through it. And I was like, that's really nice. And when they explain something, I'm like, I can explain to you what a triple axel is compared to a triple toe loop now. Because they're so, like, clear, concise, get in, get out, and, like, look at this funny thing on my head. The green leprechaun headband, I spit my coffee across the room. Because, you know, you're listening to them, and they only show them when they break for the six. Like, the six or five skaters skate. And then as the Zamboni comes out and cleans the ice, then they cut to them. And you don't ever see them. They don't cut to them except for them.
Mm. But
so the outfits only come up,
best,
like, every 25 minutes. So I've been listening to them and had kind of forgotten to look for the costume for the day, as Little Edie would call it, from Great Gardens.
Great Gardens.
So he comes on in that
I don't know this.
The leprechaun
that you're
green
about.
Blazer with this sequined headband.
Read.
And my coffee flew across the living room.
Let me read February 16th. Here is Al's comments. It's a little bit like Buffalo Bill from The Silence of the Lambs was set loose in Ireland to make a lady suit out of leprechauns. The Lady Weir is wearing his insanity like a headband. Nope, wait. Just heard from the East German judge. That is a headband. I had to avert my eyes before I could see what tropical bird died on Tara's head. When I regain my sight later, I'll look more closely.
Wearing his insanity like a headband.
No, wait.
It is a headband.
So perfect.
And I'm sweating like a pig. We may need to turn on the air conditioning.
Nope, wear a tank top.
I have to tell you.
We can turn that up.
Yeah, we got to turn that up. So I was sitting there minding my own business, and it was so long that they'd been skating that I just
forgot about them.
No, they hadn't shown them
yet.
They
were just voices. Yes.
So I had a little cup of coffee, and I was sitting enjoying my day, and it just came. The coffee flew out of my mouth. I almost shit my pants, and I couldn't even focus as to what had landed on her head.
Let me see that. Let me see that picture, Katie.
That's just so funny.
Like, it looked like a giant bird had shit down the side of her head.
With the green jacket, he looks like he's from the Masters playing golf.
The ladies' Masters.
But I love that the headband is, like, actually pushing his hair back.
Oh.
Like, he is the Lady Weir.
And I guess and the Lady Weir comes from Buddy Early, who he was. I think everybody has now turned to everybody that reads my Facebook has now started watching NBCSN. Just now, you need a glimpse
to catch what you're talking about.
The highlights are going to be on primetime, but Lady Weir is on NBCSN.
Oh God, it is really good. Well, what? Okay, so a couple of things to his credit. I mean, he's obviously been really owning the outfits.
Yeah,
and I heard, because I was watching some special on him, that it's actually, he has all of his outfits and all of the clothing that he brought cataloged in a computer. And so he won't wear the same thing twice.
Well, it's kind of like, what's her face in Clueless? Remember when she had the...
That's what it made me think of. He doesn't want to repeat an outfit.
Which makes sense.
Would you ever want to repeat that?
What's he going to do for Summer Olympics?
Oh,
he won't be there.
Oh, God, he's great. But the other thing is that they did a whole... you know, they did a whole segment on him and being gay in Russia, and he spoke about it very eloquently and really openly. You know, and his partner is Russian, and his partner didn't come out until right before they were married. And
yeah, and he's a Russophile or whatever they call it. I can't think there's a word for it. Russophile,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
But he was an asshole before the game started.
He was.
And he's the one that said about butt fucking in front of the liar or whatever.
He was.
It was.
And he was being, I think he's shock value, shock factor. I don't know, but. He is, I don't know, you know, he said that for him, he's never kind of felt, he's always kind of felt at home in Russia. And I don't know, regardless of what he feels, there is a lot of really, really horrible violence happening towards
there,
gays.
There is. And I think he kind of realized
people.
That maybe he spoke the wrong way. And he's just been very, as just an ice skating analyst. God damn it, I can't talk. Clearly, I'm not getting his job. They've just been very good, very to the point.
They don't
get chit-chatty. There's not a lot of screaming over it like Scott Hamilton.
He's a little more technical about the whole thing, I'm guessing.
Right. It's very succinct, and they're just a cute couple of them.
But he's just also, he's super, super gay. He's not trying to hide it, and I can just, like, appreciate that
being
authentic.
Yes. Yeah.
In the face of this. And so, yes, he said some things that were not very sensitive, but
yeah,
I really like him.
And I mean, I if he called himself the Lady Weir, I don't think he could be any gayer. when Buddy Early put that on my Facebook and called him, look what the Lady Weir is wearing today. I was done.
It is.
That was my. That was I thought only it was second to me getting the nickname Missy Al.
I thought that was all you, but no.
Lady Weir, thank you.
So
Early.
Many good things come from Mr. Early, too.
Yes, really. And Clayton McKee, what have you been up to?
Well, speaking of Early, I saw Buddy this weekend. Of course, I was managing the entertainment stage inside the pavilion at the Corona Ranch for the Arizona Gay Rodeo Association annual rodeo. So that was – it was fun. It's Corona Ranch is really pretty. It's beautiful to be out there. They have a great setup. I mean, aside from – you don't even need to deal with the arena if you don't want to. But the pavilion where they have all kinds of different banquets and stuff, it's a fantastic place. I started in 1975. I thought it was older than that. I thought it was from the 50s. But it started in 75. They have a great area. There's a gazebo.
27th and Southern or whatever it is.
29th Avenue and Baseline.
Baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's really interesting is the first, well, maybe first and last time I was out there was like 15 years ago, 17 years ago. It has grown up so much around there, like most of the valley has. It's
right, because it literally was my corner.
Right. You were right out there. But it has grown up so much. I hadn't literally been there. So I had to go a couple weeks ago to get a feel for where we were so I knew where the staging was and backstage and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, my 2 days, again, beautiful weather, which I got to spend some of it outside. But again, I was mostly doing the entire stage for the time. So did that. Buddy Early was out there. Several other people that I know, obviously, because, well, hi, it's the Arizona Gay Rodeo Association. I know a lot of gays in Arizona. So did that. Did the day show for President's Day, which was on Monday. So my weekend really didn't end about 6 o'clock Monday night.
Yeah.
Glad to get it over with.
But that's a fun weekend. And the rodeo was a lot of fun. You're saying you got good turnouts.
Never made it into the arena. Never saw a horse.
I never saw one horse. I went through like 8 years of rodeo without ever seeing one horse.
Yeah. But, well, and I think I told you guys I went out to finally see it the 1 year. And of course, I show up during the fucking drag pageant in the arena when they're like announcing all the drag queens. No. That's, of course, the one time that I walked out
there. The one time, right. No. Yeah. But apparently...
Some of them look like horses, so it's okay. It's close.
Why the long
and
face?
And they've been ridden.
Wow. A few times.
Rode hard.
It's hard to break a queen.
God bless them all.
So,
hard to break a queen.
So there was all that. Plus, like I was showing Katie, and you know, I was in the middle of renovations and a move-in with my house. So Michael is now fully moved in. And
it's great. He looks like he's literally lived here.
He's been it right. Doesn't it look that way?
He looks like he's lived here forever.
You get your flat panel and a shelf mounted to a wall by a great roommate. You look like you've lived here forever.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
He looks
so
comfy.
We've slowly gone room by room and cleaned and reorganized and moved. So the last bastion is that back room to get. And there's a pile that I have told him there's two places for it to go. One of it's your mom's garage. The other one's the alley.
Yeah.
You got two options. And he knows how to drive my truck now. So I'm like, you're on your own. I'm not hauling shit for you.
You're done.
Yeah, I am done.
Why,
I
is your truck a stick?
Yeah, it's a 5-speed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 5-speed. So, and
that tells you how often I'm paying attention because
you've ridden it several times.
Yeah, not the first
and the one
time.
That's in your garage is a 3-speed, just in case you need to know. You don't need to know.
No, I've already heard. There's like no seatbelts and no radio. That thing's not even a car.
It is for 1961. Seatbelts weren't required till 67.
God, I was born later.
Yes.
And I don't care about the seats. Not the seatbelts I'm worried about. It's that goddamn being trapped in a vehicle with no radio. What the hell's that about?
We sing to each other.
Oh, there you go.
That's what iPods are for.
You are my sunshine. Oh, I saw that in Beaches once.
It's my little song to Palm.
Your child?
Yeah.
Got it. Just making sure I still know.
Yeah.
My Palmer.
My little Palmy.
Isn't that precious? Well, Marnie's not here, but we're going to make up for plenty of news segments because we have news, we have headlines, we have all kinds of things. So we will. I have to make adjustments. I forgot. I wasn't prepared. I have to do this. This is stimulating radio still. By the way, for those of you listening. Well, nobody's listening to the audio only, so they're only watching us. So we can wave at everybody. They're only watching tonight, which is exciting.
That's exciting.
I think so. Yeah, that or just nobody cares. We're not sure which one it is, but we'll figure it all out.
Could be anything.
Uh-huh. Here we go with some headline stuff. I've got some, they've got some, but I'm just going to read mine because I can. We'll get to all theirs in a minute. Well, a final wish is granted. A man is banned from the internet after a sex joke. A selfie leads a burglary arrest of a person who burgled. Woman fires shots over a wrong burger order. A man, a banana suit, and a gun. A girlfriend is up for sale on eBay. And a roommate is beaten to death over a chicken foot. These are all real stories, and we have much more coming up right now on Q Talk America. Oh, well, we're going to start out in the lovely crotch of America.
Florida.
Police in Tampa say a man is facing manslaughter charges after he beat his roommate to death in a dispute over a chicken foot.
What?
Authorities say a 52-year-old man named James Hugo was arrested after the beating death of his 56-year-old roommate named Benjamin Calderon on this past Saturday. The Tampa Bay Times reported Monday that the fight started after Calderon took the chicken foot from a skillet where Hugo was cooking it. An autopsy showed that Calderon suffered internal bleeding after being hit numerous times on the face, neck, and elsewhere. A witness told police...
Elsewhere.
The genital area. A witness told police that she saw Hugo hit Calderon with the board. Hugo was jailed on $15,000 bail. Public records show that Hugo has been arrested 19 times previously in Florida. Court records did not indicate whether he had hired an attorney at the time.
Okay. You could set the bail at $20. You're eating chicken feet. Clearly, cash is a problem.
I don't get what the problem was, but apparently there was an issue earlier in the day.
All I could think of was how poor you have to be to eat the chicken's feet.
The rest of it's pretty good, but you get
bail is 75 cents. Can't make
good
it.
Good luck.
Can't make it, Your Honor.
Sorry. Can I trade
guess
a chicken?
I'm in here for the rest of time.
How many
I'm
chicken feet is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what that is.
Yuck! And oh my god, you're like, that's gross.
But I don't know what I've never heard of eating chicken feet.
I know,
gross.
I mean, let alone chicken fingers aren't really chicken fingers. We know that much. So
because first you're gonna buy me a chicken with fingers, and then yes. I will batter fry them and eat them.
Yeah. Then they're good.
Here's
jazz hands.
I don't get, like, he's been arrested 19
First
times, though.
Fossy,
so where is the, like, what's happening that you're arrested for 19 times until you kill someone?
But it doesn't say what he was arrested for. I mean, this could have been jaywalking. There should be other offenses.
Chicken wings, chicken breasts.
Breasts could be a problem.
There's like 19
lot of
parts
pieces
to a
of a chicken.
Some parts they don't actively use a lot of. But
delicacies like the feet.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either.
Never.
So if you're in the chat room and you have witnessed someone eating a chicken foot.
Right.
Or feet. Maybe there were two.
Well, let's go across the pond and talk about a man in the United Kingdom. Well, he put his longtime girlfriend up for sale on eBay, calling her an old woman who lacks housework skills. Sean Coles included an unflattering photo of his girlfriend named Debbie Moran, who was sprawled out on a couch. She was unknowing that the picture was going to be posted online. He says he did it only as a joke, but the ad did receive 56 bids and offers as high as $1,100.
Wow.
Quote, in all seriousness, I wouldn't sell her for anything, he says. His girlfriend took the joke in stride, saying that she was initially annoyed, but knew he didn't do it maliciously because he's not like that.
That's the
picture that he posted of her, if just Google, I didn't put it on our Facebook page, I could probably do it later, but if you Google something about a man putting his girlfriend on eBay, you'll find the picture, and it's not flattering at all. Really, not at all.
That's hysterical.
Oh, our second favorite armpit of the country.
Texas.
Beaumont, Texas.
Oh, my God. Ding, 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 ding.
Even on our show trivia, I win. I have such a head for knowing.
Police have cited an 18-year-old Beaumont man who upset and worried passing motorists by standing at an intersection dressed as a banana with an assault rifle slung across his back.
Oh, my God.
Beaumont police said in a statement that officers determined the man was advertising for a local tactical and security store. The rifle, while not loaded, did have a magazine capable of holding 50 rounds of ammunition. Police briefly detained the man and cited him for violating a city ordinance prohibiting solicitation along roadways.
It had nothing to do with the gun. You're not allowed to dress like a banana or any type of fruit in Texas. The rifle
guns,
is not the greatest.
Right. Take them anywhere.
That's fine.
Take
banana.
Them anywhere.
Load the fucker. Get that banana costume
but
off.
Wait a minute. You're dressed as a healthy fruit. What the hell's wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is Texas.
Probably like a soda. You're all set. A soda and a rifle. Good.
Yeah.
Like a box of fries and a rifle. Thumbs
as
up.
As long as it somewhat gets you, it has to get you back to a burger. You have to get back to cows.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Cows eat bananas. We make beef.
We make beef. We are Texas.
Well, I don't know how many times any of us have gone either through a drive-through or made a purchase and found out that it was wrong. They packaged a wrong size shirt. You ordered a steak and it was rare. It was rare. And you wanted it well done.
You ordered a shirt through a drive-through.
Well, no, I'm just saying if you ordered a shirt and it came in the wrong. We've all been served the wrong product.
Oh, I gotcha.
Well. This woman was not going to have it. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Police say a woman fired a shot into a Michigan restaurant's drive-through window after workers got her burger order wrong. Not, no, not, 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 one time, but the second time in a row. WOOD TV reports that 29-year-old Shanika Torres was arraigned Monday in Grand Rapids on carrying a concealed weapon, discharging a firearm, and another gun charge, which was not mentioned. The shot was fired around 3 a.m. Monday at a McDonald's. No one was hurt. Police say two women became angry when workers got their order wrong Sunday evening. They were told their next meal would be free. The women returned and workers again got the meal wrong. The passenger got out of the car, yelled at the workers, pulled out a gun, and fired directly into the drive-thru window. Well, aside from no one getting hurt in this stupid act of quarter-pounder rage, it is that the officers tracked down the women through a phone number that they had left after their first order was wrong.
Oh, my God.
That is crazy. And they should be charged with, like, attempted murder on everybody in the McDonald's. Just line up.
Including a cow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or chicken wings or feet or whatever.
It was a McDonald's. No chickens or cows
were harmed during the production of food.
What the fuck, though? It just leads back to, like, my same thing, and I will not get on my gun horse again.
Your gun horse?
Yeah.
Oh!
But I will say, what the fuck? That this bitch can just fucking shoot into a McDonald's. Bitches, get my order right.
Yeah.
Boom.
She'd spend more time in jail if she was dressed like a fruit.
Not okay. Probably. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Or if she was a former military veteran who'd done something stupid and accidentally shot somebody in the leg. Or what was the thing you just posted on?
Yeah.
There was something you posted.
He was attacked. And he knew enough about firearms to shoot his attacker in the leg. And he got 25 years in jail.
Right. As opposed to somebody who... Zimmerman, who killed a teenager. And is apparently going to fight somebody. I don't know what the fuck he's still doing.
Is this guy who... I didn't read the article because I literally was just too heated.
They're trying to get the sentence commuted.
Because it's just asinine.
It's like the woman that fired at her husband that was beating her.
Yes.
But she wasn't standing her ground because she went back into the house to get her purse, even though he was still there after her. But because she turned around to get her purse... so that her and her child could have cash to go live somewhere safely, she got 20 years in prison. Even though she didn't hit him, it was a warning shot, but because she fired her firearm with intent for malice or whatever they were.
But she was black, so that's why.
She was black. Asinine.
Yeah, she's black, so sorry, you're going to prison.
Completely asinine.
That is how Florida works.
Oh, God, I just...
More stupid laws in America.
It's awful. You can.
We'll go all the way to the left coast, as we like to say, to Chula Vista, California, where authorities say it was
West Coast, best coast.
It sure is. Authorities say it was a selfie that led detectives to a suspect in the burglary of a Southern California church. Detectives found a phone at the crime scene in Chula Vista, where a laptop, some cash, watches, and some other items were all found and reported to have been stolen. On the phone was a photo that the suspect had apparently snapped of himself. The dumbass. The police posted the picture. Residents recognized the man in the photo. And on Tuesday, they arrested 26-year-old Adam Howe. A search of his belongings uncovered property stolen from a Hilltop Tabernacle Church and an RV that was parked nearby. Further investigation also led to the arrest of two other people who were also found living at the same place with other stolen property. So he just gave it up for all three of them right quick. Yeah. Bless his heart. They are not the smartest, are they?
Mm-mm.
Not a bit.
No? Well, you can't. How can you not take a selfie? You got a phone. You got to take it.
Hey, it's a new phone. How's that camera work?
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Snap.
What could have been worse is if he actually would have logged into his own Facebook account and posted it. They could have just.
Remember the guy that did that? That posted all the stolen goods?
I kind of remember something.
Yeah, we had that story a year ago that he went through and he or she posted all of the pictures, and one of the relatives was like,
That's our stuff.
That's the stuff that
we're missing.
That's missing.
The Bling Ring did that. All the kids on the Bling Ring, which was the movie where it was the kids in Beverly Hills that were breaking into the celebrities' homes, and they were like wearing their clothing and jewelry and snapping photos and putting them on Facebook, got caught.
There was another one where somebody
how you know people are just basically fucking.
I figured they'd robbed a bank, they'd robbed something, and then somebody posted an entire stack of cash. I mean, this was from our first studio. They posted pictures of that, and the cops busted them because, like,
oh, I remember that story too.
Dumbass. Mm-hmm. More dumbasses. Racine, Wisconsin. A Waterford man told police he only intended to play a joke on his neighbor, but Jason Willis was charged criminally after he pretended to be his neighbor and posted fraudulent ads on Craigslist soliciting sex. The neighbor called the Racine County Sheriff's Department after a man showed up at her door wearing only a coat and said that he was responding to her ad. Now, Racine Judge Pat Thorson said that the 31-year-old Willis has 2.5 years of probation and is banned from using the internet. He gave Willis 30 days to cancel his internet service that he currently has. If Willis violates the terms of his probation, he will go to prison for 18 months. The Racine Journal-Times says that Willis earlier pleaded guilty to misappropriating ID information to harm a person's reputation. So if you're not understanding what he did, he posed as his female single neighbor. Yeah. And then he would put her address. She lived with, it was a single woman and her daughter lived there. He would post an ad and guys would show up expecting God knows what to this woman who wasn't soliciting anything. He would then watch from across the street or next door, however it was, set up, and watch them and just thought it was funny to see guys go to her door.
Okay, first, that's really dangerous. But the other thing is can you imagine how many people we know that if you told them they were banned from the internet for 18 months,
they'd lose their fucking
minds. Lose their fucking minds?
I mean, I would.
I'd probably be included, too.
I would.
How do we consider... I mean, I watch Netflix mostly, mail me the DVDs, but still.
Yeah.
Banned from the internet? No thanks.
I can't make it through an entire TV show or movie without referring immediately to IMDb and getting on my trivia.
I Google everything.
What it didn't say in the story, and I would only assume, and if, by all means, if anybody's in law enforcement and understands this better than us, please let us know. I'm going to assume that he was banned from the internet for this probation time. I don't know if it's forever.
I would imagine.
No, it's said like 18 months or 2 years or something.
Right. He's banned for, he can't have internet for 18 months. He's not banned for lifetime. It didn't say anything about lifetime.
Oh, no. And I just said 18 months might as well be a lifetime.
Oh, might as well. Well, 18 hours
for
me.
People can't even make it through dinner.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
With my world, with email, there's no way. It's too much. But again, we're not crazy people sending people across the street to have sex.
Right. Right. So that's not going to be a problem for us.
Especially if he has an internet job, then please take me to jail where I at least get food and water.
And I can do the internet from there.
Exactly.
Taylor, Michigan.
I'll solicit sex from the guy in the next bunk.
Which is easy. Just a special tap.
A foot tap.
Right.
Foot tap.
Yeah. You have a wide stance, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
I have a sturdy gait.
Yeah.
A friend, a bouncer, a father, and a four-time husband was remembered Thursday in the suburban Detroit watering hole he considered his second home and the place that he had requested for his final funeral. Or just his funeral, because there's not a final funeral. Yeah, how many funerals you fucking have?
Jimmy,
it's like Cher's retirement concert.
Right. Jimmy Lair's open pine casket was parked right in the middle of the dance floor.
Oh, it was open?
At the all-around bar, as about 100 family members and his friends paid their final respects to the man who died this past February
7th. That's a good turnout, though, if you think about it.
The unusual circumstances of the funeral weren't lost on those in attendance. I mean, it fit Lair's oversized, one-of-a-kind personality perfectly. The clergy easily mixing with beefy, tattooed men and his wife, and at least one ex-wife. The casket, built by friends about 15 hours, took a little earlier in the week, was surrounded by flowers and placed where his fourth and last wedding to Patricia was held back in 1996.
He got married and died in this bar.
In a mix of Saturday night and Sunday morning, Lair, who is 58, was eulogized by many, including bar owner Dave Carlson, several of Lair's four children and 10 grandchildren, and a third ex-wife, Cheryl Lair, who was there too. The chaplain said, quote, "I've never done a funeral in camouflage pants," but adding that she donned them in honor of the avid hunter and angler. The local funeral home worked with the bar and transported the body for them, and funeral home officials said it was a first for them, but they said everything was handled appropriately and according to law. He literally, according to the story, he went to work there in the early 80s, then had a huge bout with alcoholism, but realized that those all were his friends, so he got cleaned up but didn't want to leave friends. He literally had worked as a manager, a bouncer, a cook. He'd done everything there. That was his world.
That was his, yeah.
So he had gotten, like I said, his marriages had been there. He'd worked there his whole life. So all these things that happened, he's like, well, I've lived here. I'm going to
You know, if he comes back again, I would suggest maybe travel.
I think it would be a good idea.
It's a small world after all. I mean, you got married.
Just a thought.
Just a thought.
Yeah, but what a turnout. I mean, that's a great honor. I mean, I hope to have half that many people come to a ceremony for
me.
Please.
How many people do you think are going to... Really?
I'm super busy that day.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Whatever day it is.
If I get a baker's dozen, I'm going to think, that's a win, fuckers.
Wow.
No, I feel like you would have a fun funeral.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, I mean,
I won't be there to plan it. It's up to...
You better. You should write
I'm
it out now.
I'm relying on the kindness of strangers.
There are so many. There are people who, are like writing out what they want before. They're like, here's what's going to happen at my funeral.
I think one of the things we've already set many, many years ago is obviously Last Dance has to be played.
Oh yeah,
that's
I mean,
duh.
Everybody goes to Sunset Cliffs in California And
are we spreading your ashes there?
Oh yeah, just dump the ashes over while you play Last Dance. There's another song that I always forget what it's called. Probably Shiver Me Timbers. But there's another fun song that I always think of.
Dr. Long John.
When I'm yeah,
yeah, I want a fun party, but I want to give my ashes. And I was just talking about this, Kelly. Went with
such a cheerful conversation.
Well, no, it really isn't bad. Kelly went with her mom to spread her stepdad's ashes this weekend, and it was he passed away a few years ago. So you know, I mean, it's still emotional. But
you'll get to it eventually.
Well, yeah, I know. It was a lot of actually like, oh, I'm busy that day, kind of things that like prevented all of him from being there. So you know, yes, it's not like a super lighthearted topic, but really, it's good, and it was a lot of nice family time togetherness and that kind of thing. And they took him out to the mountains, and Sandy was laughing, and she spread him at golf courses around the country, and it's totally illegal. So she takes them in little baggies, and when she's out on the green, she's like dumping it out of her pocket.
Shut up.
And it's good. And so, you know, she says she's got him kind of all over the place and all these different things. So that's what I want to do. I want to be spread at like the best ski mountains.
That's kind of fun too.
It's great.
I like that. The covert ops, like kind of fun. Yeah. I've heard of those stories where you take people's ashes
to where baggies.
It's illegal.
Yeah. And it's totally illegal, and you just dump it.
Okay, I've never...
Shake it off your leg.
And honestly, I've never really thought about it, because, again, I want to be cremated too, because I can't imagine... Why just waste valuable space by...
Like in the earth.
Interning somebody forever in some ground that can never be used for anything else.
And I want to give... I think I've asked you this before, but I want to give... I want to donate my organs... And my whatever can be donated. But what if you're really super old and you die of like natural causes as a really old age? They can't use my eyes because I probably have cataracts.
They find what they can use, or you can always donate your body to science to like.
And do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, there are those that feel it's a little bit that it gets a little disrespectful, but the schools are always appreciative of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really super religious person.
There are people that have used the bodies that were donated and felt that. It was inappropriate, but I would say, yeah, donate. You know, if you can help somebody, and maybe your cataracts can be something they can find out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I worked for Body Worlds for a little while when it was here in Arizona, which is the Gunther von Hagen's exhibit.
It's amazing,
and it's the where they take the cadavers and they, you know.
Plasticize.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Plasticize them. And so they have the full bodies. They take the skin off and they show all of the interworkings of your body.
And sometimes they leave the skin
amazing.
On. You get the muscle. You either get the muscles.
Some people,
it's the capillaries.
The nerve systems. Some, it's just all. Yeah, it's just all blood vessels. It is like really cool.
And there's a
cool.
basketball player that donated his body and he's posed like.
So what's really exciting about this Gunther von Hagen's, and there's another one that's called Bodies, and that's actually, they use Chinese, like, people that died in prison camps in China, and it's not, like, on the up and up. But Body Worlds is all of these people have donated their bodies to this program, to Gunther von Hagen's and to the Body Worlds.
And if you get a chance, Harris...
That came through here, didn't it?
It's come through twice.
Okay.
Yeah. When Harris and I were both first starting... And Harrison and I were both first starting back to school. We went to see it at UCLA, and the bigger the venue you're able to see it at, the more of the exhibits they have.
Yeah.
And they, like, I think in Arizona they didn't have the part about the fetus.
No, they did.
They have the pregnant woman with all the warnings?
They did, at least the year I worked on it.
Okay.
Now, the second year, I'm not sure, but this was
I wasn't sure because some states they don't even bother to break it out. But if you go into a big enough one, when you walk in. They have a horse that was the first thing they ever did.
Oh, we didn't have the horse.
And the horse is like standing, like kind of rearing back. And you see they've taken just, the horse is still intact except for like the musculature of the one of the back legs. And then the person that's riding it, you have his leg.
In comparison.
So you can see the musculature of the horse's leg compared to the man's leg.
It's so cool.
There's just so many cool things in that. And it really was interesting to see like where the sciatic nerve is and stuff like that. Like. How they pose them sometimes has to do with how they died or what their problem was or what they were good at, like a basketball player.
Yeah, it's really,
it
really neat. There's the gymnast.
The gymnast is really cool.
Doing the back bend, like on the beam. And they bring a balance beam out and they have this woman pose. And it's really amazing to see the way that it's brought in. They have halfway through the exhibition, they have the team is German. And so they travel with you and they're out, you know, to set it up and break it down. And halfway through, they have the German team comes in to do kind of an update. And, you know, it's supposed to be a no touching thing, but people bump or they this or whatever. So into the exhibit. So they the German team comes out and fixes little things that might have broken or that might have come apart, and they just kind of dust and clean and fix all of the exhibits. So I had to spend the night at the Science Center one night as the staffer while the German team was in cleaning and doing all the updates. And so I got to help do some of the, you know, help like re-glue some pieces back together. And I felt like a mad scientist.
Oh,
it was
wow.
really cool. Yeah. And the fetus piece is always in a separate room and it's all blocked off and it gives you the disclaimer. And some people, you know, all the school field trips bypass it, which I don't know. Maybe that's... they should see it. I don't know. But it's really interesting.
It's a woman, and she knew about the project, but she died in her like eighth month of pregnancy or the beginning of her ninth month of pregnancy. And she donated herself, and the baby still sits in situ. I don't know what the term is.
In
utero. And it's they have all different, there's all different
stages
of development where they have different.
I can't even imagine, aside from how sad that is, but it's amazing that somebody had the foresight to donate that for other people to get educated. I can't imagine how you preserve that.
It's the process. I mean, if it comes back, it is, and it tours quite extensively.
It does.
It is an amazing,
make
an
sure
amazing
you're seeing
thing.
Body Worlds.
Yeah.
Because that's really the up and up. That's the legit, not
and
bodies.
And it says the German name above
it. Yeah, Gunther von Hagen's Body Worlds. It's so cool. But yeah, to say, I know this is happening to my body and here's what I want to do with it. And they have forms at the end of the thing, at the end of the tour. And you can request more information about, you know, this is something I'd be interested in doing, and you know, you get in touch with the team, and it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting way to look at the body and see, like, they have lungs, smokers' lungs and drinkers' livers, and all different
coal miners
states, coal miners.
Coal miners' lungs. So a normal set of lungs looks like this big, right? Like the size of, I don't even know what
they're
I'm
not that big. They're
smaller than this, but the coal miner's lungs. So if a regular lungs are the size of a basketball, the coal miner's lungs were like a baseball and just like
from
black
all of the ash, right?
And just really bizarre, tiny and black and shriveled and horrible.
Really, it's very interesting. I know it sounds kind of gruesome, but it's really interesting, and it's.
I've never gone to that. So, and all this from a story about a man who had his funeral in a bar.
Yeah. it leads to great things. One more thing for him to
conversation
be
is flowing hither and yon. Now, I know that those were all the headlines that I actually had prepped. I know that you two both had some things. So what are you?
A couple of things. Alfred?
Well, go first.
Age before beauty, Alfred.
Oh, fuck you.
Because you know he wasn't prepared.
No. So the women advance in Olympic hockey, pay the fuck attention, and an unbelievably stupid woman misses ice dancing. And then I have a big conspiracy theory about Anonymous stopping Karl Rove.
Ooh.
So I'll do the first two.
We got a couple minutes here in this hour, and then we'll...
All right, because the first two are fast. So our headline is out of Rochester, New York, and it says, "God fucking damn it, you're a stupid fucking moron," whispers woman who realizes she missed ice dancing. Noting with dismay and deep self-contempt that she had missed last night's final Olympic figure skating ice dance event, local woman Jillian Kissel reportedly whispered to herself Tuesday morning that she really was a stupid fucking moron. "God fucking damn it, you piece of shit. You missed it. You fucking missed it," said the 28-year-old loan officer of the ballroom dancing-inspired and classical music-accompanied free dance program that happens once every 4 fucking years and featured a historic first-ever gold medal win for the U.S., for fuck's sake. Shit. The final goddamn free dance. Well, way to go, dumb fuck. Hope you're happy with yourself. It was probably breathtaking. The costumes, the enchanting choreography, you stupid whore. Is what she said to herself. At press time, Kissel was watching a low-resolution YouTube video of Merrill Davis and Charlie White's jaw-droppingly gorgeous gold medal-winning program and was overheard muttering, "This is all you fucking deserve."
Onion?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, at first, because I didn't know that you were going to bring it, I'm like... And actually, I thought the thing was about somebody who overslept at the Olympics and missed their slot. Is what I thought.
I just wanted to read that line because it was so funny. So this one is U.S. advances to women's hockey. Hey, get the fuck back here. With a dominant 6-1 win over Sweden in Monday's semifinal, Team USA advanced the gold medal game of women's ice. Whoa, where the fuck do you think you're going? Hold on a minute, you sexist prick. Come back and read this. After surging Looking ahead, thanks to first period goals from Amanda Kessel, Casey Bellamy, and wait, did hearing those names make you want to navigate away from this page? Because sources saw your dismissive, misogynistic bullshit coming a mile away before posting this report. So this is all just about people who just don't watch or pay attention to women's sports, and it, just beautifully written by The Onion. And so it says Kessel, speaking to reporters following her impressive one goal, two assist performance against Sweden, forward said, well, do you really want to know what she said, or are you just going to ignore this like you do every story related to the LBGA, the WNBA, women's tennis, and U.S. women's soccer team? Sources also apologize that this page doesn't contain images of female hockey players or in bikinis because Lord knows that sort of crap would keep your attention. God bless The Onion.
Oh, there are so many good
at
ones.
At press time, and you certainly didn't make it this far into the story, so forget it, you fucking pig.
Okay, well, on that note, we will come back on the other side of this, the end of hour one, hour two coming up. The drinking word is on its way. Don't forget, we have two more hours coming up. Katie June's got some stuff. We have sports. We have entertainment. We're going to talk about things that we don't yet know we're going to talk about. There's drinking. Al has an orange to eat. So many things, so little time. Well, actually, exactly. a lot of fucking time. It's the show. It's Q Talk America. We're coming to you live from Studio C. We will be back in just moments. Stay with us, won't you?
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
8:01 on a Tuesday night. You are listening to the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside the one and only Katie June. And right across the table, look at that. It's the Lady Weir.
The Lady Weir. Oh, no, I do not dress in any way worthy of that title.
Al Perkins is joining us. Marty
Missy
Ryan.
Missy Al.
Missy Al. The Lady Al.
I'll take that one.
The Lady Al. Marty Ryer is on vacation this week, so she will not. She's not just late. She's not coming in at all. So,
in case you thought she might still be on
for the those way. Of you still holding hope that she was going to show up. No. Sorry, not happening. As we do at the beginning of each and every hour two, we are going to kick it off this way with, if you've not listened to us before, you're going to understand right quick that this is something we do for legal reasons.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
What are you laughing at now? I don't know what you've done.
Oh, I was just on Ghetto Word of the Day.
What is that?
And I decided that our word of the day is going to be Pikachu. This bitch be mad because I Pikachu all the time.
Okay.
Well, that is not the definition I understand it to be.
But it is now.
Oh my God, my girlfriend fell down, so I picked the bishop. We. I love Urban Dictionary, and I just found ghetto word of the day.
So what is our word is Pikachu?
Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Use it how you want to.
Well, wait, Oprah uses it. I love the bishop.
Here's
I picked that bishop.
The other one is omelet. I should punch you for what you just said, but I'm going to let it go. Okay, it's offensive, but I'm just quoting.
It's on the interwebs.
So it must be true.
It's true.
I just peek at you for just a second.
Oh, okay. I gotta make a drink. You make another story up.
All right. Well, here I have my conspiracy theory to share, and I wish that that Marsha was here because she'll
Well, I'd like to hear about it.
Oh no. Yes, but she remembers part one of the story pretty vividly because she talks about it all the time.
Oh.
Okay, so there is this thing, and I sometimes when I go to sleep and I just can't get my mind off stuff. What I do is I go on YouTube and I find old news like programs that people have taped.
Sure.
And I just watch the news programs or like other podcasts and stuff like that. It turns out there's dozens of them. And I'll just listen to an old story, like whatever they have. I'll pick a topic and Young Turks or David Pakman or whatever this
I do
other
like
show.
Young Turks and David Pakman.
They'll cover it. So there was this story that was going around, and I kept finding it over and over again. And it was about the group Anonymous. They're the ones that got all the.
They've fucked up everything on the internet.
Yeah, and they got all the. They went after what's it called?
Oh, the Westboro.
Westboro Baptist Church, and they had all their personal information that they were going to release if they kept going to funerals.
Right, right.
They've, taken.
Yes, which was them doing great things. Because Anonymous has sometimes just been fucking up your shit.
Yeah, sometimes they're just dicks.
That's them being dicks in the name of good.
And they wear the mask.
Guy Fawkes
from the guy that tried to blow up the parliament in
the
1800s.
Yeah, it's there's a name for that.
Yeah, and I can't think of it either. But it's from V for Vendetta.
Yeah, that's where I saw the mask. Me too.
And, yeah. So, anyways, in the election in 2004. If everybody remembers, and Marnie talks about all the time how she went home from the election party that she was at because John Kerry had won, Ohio was in the bag, and it turns out that the Secretary of State's election website went down for a minute or two. They send all their information as kind of a backup plan to somewhere in Chattanooga, Tennessee or something. And then it was rerouted back, and when it came back, all of a sudden the counties that had not been counted yet, that were still waiting, all of a sudden showed a big change, and it went from John Kerry winning by 3 or 4 points to John Kerry losing by 1 or 2, and it was very strange. And I had heard all these rumors for years about something got fixed, something happened with the Ohio vote, someone was in on it. Well, it turns out that the 08 election, there was no hope. That was such a landslide going in that there was no state to turn. Ohio was not going to turn the tide of the election because Obama won North Carolina, Indiana. He just won everything. There was no point to trying to capture Ohio. But this one, I guess the thought was that it could have come down to Ohio because Republicans and Karl Rove has his big he has his own super PAC, and he had spent, $10 billion money, and he lost almost every race.
He can go to the same place that What's-His-Face ends up.
Right. So it turns
Zimmerman.
Out that the website in 2004 went down at about 11:15 Eastern time, which is 9:15 our time. And if you remember from the 2012 election, Fox News announced it, that Obama had won, and then Karl Rove was having his little hissy fit that they had announced too early, and he was on the Secretary of State's website, and the vote was getting closer, and then he says, and it's on there, you can Google it, just Google Karl Rove's meltdown, and they show the whole 20-minute thing, and it's about 11:17, 11:18, where he says, well, the Secretary of State's website just went down, which meant that they were going to send, when their server goes down, they reroute to this safe place. I think it's in Chattanooga, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. And then it bounces back to them. Well, from what all these sources are saying, and this is all over the internet, he was expecting the same fix that was there, but Anonymous had rigged it. And Anonymous said it was kind of the stupidest people alive. They went through a barn door. This wasn't a secret thing. They didn't put any precautions up. So Anonymous set it up so that they could all go in. They would get all of their IP addresses, find out who they all were that were going in and trying to rig the election, capture their names, not let them fix anything. So they went, everybody that went in to like rig the election thought they were doing it, got out of the site. The Ohio website came back for the Secretary of State, and there were no changes.
And Obama that's why was still winning.
And that's why Karl Rove was so like, what the fuck is going on? Like, in that minute,
oh my God,
the vote should have turned.
Oh, my God.
And Anonymous was saying that now they're holding all of those names, that if Karl Rove tries to do this again, they have all the names, they have all the IP addresses, they know exactly who he's using.
Oh, that is crazy. What? I have not heard that
and
at
it's
all.
It's everywhere, and that was the whole reason for the meltdown and why Karl Rove had to finally say, well, I guess you're right, because he was expecting that website to come back and show like Hamilton County and all those late reporting counties.
Right.
Because it was exactly the same setup. And it turns out, because of YouTube, you can go back and watch all of those. You can pick any election you want to, and you can pick your newscast. Like, you can watch, you can, it goes back as far as, I think I've watched the, like, the election coverage from Clinton's first election. That's all there on YouTube.
Wait, so Karl Rove has been doing this year over year?
No, no, but
year.
I'm just, but no, it was 04 because no one thought Bush would win, and they knew that that was going to be the kicker. They pretty much thought they won Florida, but it was going to come down to Ohio. So they had this rigging in
through
place.
Smart Tech and Chattanooga. Holy shit. Do you watch Scandal?
No.
Because this is exactly what Scandal is about.
I have a couple like, of times
alert,
watched it.
Spoiler alert. Hashtag. Yeah. This is exactly what it's about. How? This is exactly what.
And it
not,
always.
It was what happened like last season. This is exactly it.
So, but it turns out this story has been around and everybody kind of reported on it. But it was all in that like underground. Now they call it, what do they call it? I can't remember what they call it. They don't call it mainstream media anymore. They call it, like, corporate media. So, like, you have to go to these people that aren't corporately financed to find all these stories that exist. And they exist, and whether or not they're true, but they're at least reporting on them. And it's not just a strange coincidence, because you can go back and watch the election in 04 where everyone agrees that Ohio's in the bag, that John Kerry was going to win, and John Kerry didn't concede the election until the next morning, because they were checking with lawyers. They knew something was rigged, but they couldn't figure out what it was. And so he never conceded till the next morning to George Bush. And there's the pictures of the whole Bush family crying on their way because they think they've lost. And Karl Rove is like, no. We got this. Let me check the numbers again. And it's all over. And like all the news people the next day, if you remember from the day after the 04 election.
I don't.
Everybody in the news was saying, how could the exit polls in Ohio have been that far off? Like, it wasn't just like a point or two. It went from like Kerry being 4 points ahead.
To being 4 points behind.
Yeah.
It was a significant shift.
It was like a 6 or 7 point shift. So it's very interesting. It's all over. You can find it on... just Google Anonymous takes down Karl Rove and you'll find big pieces.
Oh my God. All you have to do is type in Karl Rove Anonymous and it all comes up. Karl Rove Anonymous Ohio, Karl Rove Anonymous Fix, Karl Rove Scandal.
And if you can find them, they have the videos from each year, or just find anybody commenting on the election. Just YouTube, Google anyone commenting on the election the day after the 04 election. And everybody saying, like, all the news media, like, people were ready to print the headlines in every paper that Kerry had won.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Then Ohio switched, and no one, and Marnie talks about it all the time.
Karl Rove can just.
He's an evil little prick. So, I mean, it's very interesting.
So, the huge history of the world could have changed had that been exploited.
Yes. No, but then again, because they remember how disillusioned they were that when they were all giving their predictions, remember all the maps the day before the election on Fox News were like, what's that little, Dick Morris, the little troll Dick Morris and Bill O'Reilly. And they were all saying it was going to be a landslide for Romney. Like, it wasn't even close. They were saying remember, they were saying all the polls were off, that they were skewed
which
too Democratic.
Which was just not even accurate at all.
But that kid, what's the kid's name that got every state right? He's the pollster kid that did the math.
I can't remember his name, but I know.
I don't remember him either.
Everybody shit on him because he got the 10.
They're like, you're such a dumbass,
but
and you're so
wrong. But
he got
all the Tea Party elections right. Like, he called every race in the 2010 election, so he was their hero in 2010. And when he said in 2012, like, no. Like,
Romney's not winning.
He called every state, so all those people were all over the place. So they genuinely thought if we throw Ohio, it doesn't matter, because they thought they were going to win Minnesota. They thought they were going to win Pennsylvania. New Hampshire was in the bag. They never believed they lost Florida till 2 days later when they finally called it. Romney slack-jawed was like, Florida was in the bag. Even Obama said, we lost Florida. Obama had no reason to think he would win Florida. So very, very odd. But it turns out that even if he could have lost Ohio and Virginia and Florida and still won the election.
So with all that, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say here.
So it turns out it was a nothing event. You know what I mean? Because we knew all along, because of the way the Electoral College went,
that Obama was going to win.
Well, not that he was going to win, but Ohio, Florida, and Virginia could be lost, and he could still win the whole thing.
He'd win. Right.
Because they played the Electoral College so perfectly.
So here's my challenge with this. And
we have a challenge on the field. Well, a challenge on the field.
Challenge accepted.
Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Let me Pikachu real quick. So this is so bizarre. Like, this is going to be, this is really telling us to where I am in my life. But I believe Al Perkins over the other people. Although you're getting your news from these folks, like, for some reason when you say it, it sounds like totally credible. But here's my problem. Here's my challenge.
Uh-huh.
Okay, salon.com. Whatever. Truthout.org, Daily Cause, who I really like them.
Yeah.
But then you're looking at The Examiner. You're talking about Tom Hartman. Like, and these guys.
Then you get into the crazy folks.
These guys, and I listen to these guys, but I take everything they say with a lot of salt.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you're salting that heavily. Because these guys are, to me.
But Anonymous claims this.
Like, pretty
Anonymous,
moderate. Like, yeah. I am a Democrat for sure, but I'm not like a crazy left-wing liberal. But like, Tom Hartman is a crazy left. And I like Tom Hartman. Yeah. And I listen to his stuff as good entertainment. And sometimes I feel like I'm learning things. But when he says a conspiracy theory, I turn him off because I'm like, you're fucking crazy.
Right. And I do the same thing. The only thing about it that made me listen further was because the night of the election and the 2 weeks before the election, Marnie kept talking about going home that night because everyone said John Kerry had won. And then my memory of everybody on the news the next day, like every person that was doing not straight up news, but like chat show stuff was saying like, okay, everyone was wrong. Like every single news organization had already called Ohio. They didn't have an official number yet, but all of them had said that's in the bag. Like we're 5 minutes away from announcing John Kerry as the next president of the United States. And then it changed in a dime, and they were all, and it just,
I don't remember this. I think I was just in such a different mind space and like place in my life that I really wasn't paying attention.
And because I'm a crazy obsessive person, but this year, because I watched that Karl Rove breakdown, I watch it constantly.
I found it on YouTube.
I can't even lie to you how often I watch it.
We may actually have to go watch this after the show's over because I want to see it again.
If you remember, you weren't here that night, but we were sitting here that night and remember we all turned to Fox because someone said, Fox News is arguing with a call about Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn it, why didn't I tape Fox News? Well, it turns out it came on it was a YouTube sensation a day later because it's like an 18 minute clip of Karl
Rove. This was
last
November when we did all the election stuff in the old studio.
So it's just interesting because the time frames just matched up. And I was like, okay, this isn't like concoction. Like, I remember all of these
happening. So my question, and if you've already addressed this, forgive me, I may have been out making a drink. So with this knowledge now on the table, meaning we have, because I wouldn't say we're talking about a matter of national security, but all of this data is hard fact. It's real data. It's real information. Clearly being manipulated, not manipulated. It was an easy hack.
They called it a barn door. And that's not me. That is an actual quote from Anonymous.
So now I'm wondering what is in place now if this has been exposed like a security flaw. Every time there's a security flaw, Microsoft loses their mind, sends out 37 updates and fixes shit. So is with this next election coming up in where are we going? Is it in 16?
Well, yeah.
So in 16.
No, 14.
Well, no,
it's this
there's
year.
An election. There's an election. Well, this is not a president.
I'm talking presidential. I'm more concerned about presidential.
But this is a very important
it's
year.
It's really
for
important for the House.
So what I'm wondering is, has anybody come out and said there are security measures in place now that the internet is any more secure? Is any of this data any more encrypted or whatever the fuck it is?
You have to hope so because, I mean, then you can find out how easily Anonymous is just threatening Ohio, telling them, we know what you did and we have your.
So if you do it again.
If you do, like, and we know you. So if you try anything.
Pikachu!
Yeah,
I'm a Pikachu, bitch.
It was definitely a Pikachu moment. And you can find I love when Anonymous releases stuff because they do it in that voice like this and they talk like this. And it's all very threatening.
God,
it's
I want to be a part of Anonymous.
I do too. It's kind of creepy, but kind of cool.
Yeah, just as long as they don't fuck with me or anything
but
I'm doing.
They do fuck with everybody. And they are keeping, I mean, if you think about it, they are making us aware of, like, lapses in our national security or, like...
Fucking rigging elections. That's huge.
No, but
But they do a lot of other stuff with, like, national security that they're like, this door is open and we're inside. Fuck you. And that's how people realize, like, oh, our security system doesn't work. Because, you know, all those movies where, like, the people come in and they let some little small disaster happen so that they can sell the security system,
right.
And then they fuck everything. I mean, it's the plot of, what, 80 movies in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
That's these people. God bless them.
These are the people that you want to hire to come in. Okay, figure out how to break into my house, how to fuck up my internet, how to do all these things, and then tell me how to fix it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's exactly, and hackers.
It's like, the hackers
they
all
hire
got
the
hired.
Hackers, they all get hired. The guy from Catch Me If You Can went on to be counterfeiting. I don't know what
anti-counterfeiting. In real life, but it also reminds me of the Stieg Larsson novels, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and all of those novels. And it was all about kind of hacking and, like, you know, information gathering and really cool.
So just a little interesting FYI.
I hadn't heard of that, but I think that is very interesting because I'll be curious to see what happens in the next election cycle, whether presidential or not. Because you said this in 14 later on this year.
It's a really
big lot coming up.
Well, it's a big midterm elections, big for the House, big for the Senate. You know, and one of the big pieces that we're looking at is getting out. You know, these Tea Party folks are going to be fighting for their lives. You know, it was like they kind of came on strong and then they got fucking apeshit crazy. And I think that there are some districts certainly where the Tea Partiers are going to really still have strongholds, but there are a lot of these Tea
and
Party
going, there's
folks
gonna be, the Tea Party
that are going to have a lot of challenges by even moderate Republicans. That
McCain is going to get, McCain got, not rebuked. What did he get done? He got censured by the Arizona Republican Party
and for
being too liberal.
And for me,
fucking
and for
John McCain.
For me and for the others who might not completely understand what that means, explain that.
Oh, they pretty much called him out and said he was, like, the worst fucking person ever. Like, censured, it's not anything official.
Because it's nothing. Yeah, it's not an
official thing.
It's just you're being called to the carpet for what you didn't do.
What you didn't do because one time he agreed with Obama out of the 1900s, and now he wants to invade Kiev, which is killing me today.
Sure. Good. Well, you know.
He'll invade a Safeway. It's the same plan. Safeway Kiev. It's the same plan. Just change one or two details on whether or not you get on a cookie aisle.
But I mean, listen, if he wants to invade my crack fries, I would honestly be on board with that. Like, Kiev, leave those fuckers
can
alone.
You
but
hear
like,
the people sing? You know what I mean? I can just see the revolt of what we'll all be doing up front.
I think homeless men in wheelchairs, and John McCain is going to just have that on.
I'm not sure, but I think Tomo has joined us. New Zealand is on board and Malaysia listening as
Tomo.
well as the United States. Hello.
But we're doing crazy conspiracy theories.
And we're talking about all American politics, so it's got to be stimulating for you guys.
I will say, and just as like a takeaway for other folks, and one of my favorite things to do that I do every week on this show is that, you know, we talk about a lot of different things and I'm like constantly learning about things from you all that are either news stories or entertainment pieces. And I
stuff that happened 25 years ago.
Right. Yes. When I was just a wee lass.
Yeah.
But I Google everything and then leave the pages up. And then when I go home at night, I get into my, you know, I settle down and I either watch or I read. And so this is like going to be my,
my new thing, seriously. And I've been doing it since my TV died last summer in my bedroom that I like a little bit. I need like white noise to sleep to. So I pick these old news broadcasts, but I very rarely
pick the shipping report.
Yeah, exactly.
The shipping report.
It gets down to that doll. But I pick stories. I don't pick like Fox or NBC. I pick these little podcasts and some of them are legitimately crazy. And even I have to wake up and be like, all right, that's just fucking insanity. Let's go on to the next topic. But you're just on one page and it lists like the next 14 things that you might want to listen to. And I'm like, all right, I'm not asleep yet. What does this crazy person have to say? And I stumbled across this one and it slayed me because I was like, there was so much backup to the
right.
story.
There's a huge difference between somebody who just throws out a conspiracy theory and him and a dog that he owns believe it.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got this, and I guess what to me freaks me out a little bit more is all the, like you said, and I'm only going by what you said, all timelines match.
Yeah.
Everything matches. So the people that legitimately don't know what the fuck's going on and the people that did it, or the people that intercepted it and the people that did it, are all in the same timeline.
Yeah.
But they're all like, one's freaking out because it didn't work like they had planned. The other one's showing you because we intercepted their plan. That's crazy.
And it's kind of like there's that scene in The Dark Knight where...
you love referencing that movie.
I do.
Always do.
That movie is so fucking good. But in The Dark Knight... oh my God, I can't think of his name. Morgan Freeman shows Batman, the Batman, this technology where he can spy on everybody and he can pick up code words or he can pick up catchphrases that make them zero in on it and they can spy on everybody at the same time. And it was so science fiction. And then you can fast forward 2 years later and we're in the whole Snowden thing and it turns out we're doing that. The Batman thing was real.
Already doing it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Turns out that wasn't science fiction. Somebody just was like, do you...
A little ahead. Yeah. Or knew something. God only knows. You know, got a tip.
And you find out that the London bombing... Every inch of London, there's that video of the drunk lady going through the subway, or drunk guy, and she falls down all the stairs, and she keeps falling and falling and falling, and you realize how far you can walk in London and never be out of camera range by this one drunk woman.
I don't know.
Oh, you guys don't spend enough time on the internet doing fun shit.
Clearly not, but I'm about to.
Google that
tonight.
So
anyways, tonight I'll be looking.
I knew that conspiracy would take too long. I'm very sorry. Very interesting.
That is cool. I didn't realize all that is cool.
London bombing, drunk lady subway. Yeah.
They're two different things. The London bombing, they were able to like figure out the bombing so fast in their version of 9/11, which I think is like 7/7/7 or 7/10/7.
Oh, Jesus.
Whatever that date is. But because everything in London is filmed, they were like, there they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Boston things. Like, can you just all send your photos in? They're like, there's the bomber, there's a bomber, there's a bomber, there's a bomber.
We can put this timeline together because everything's date stamped.
But when everybody realized it's not a crime they're looking for. Like, you can watch this drunk woman fall down all over London and she never leaves the camera.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But really, the Boston bombing was the same way. Yeah, it's like camera three, let's go ahead and zoom in.
Susie seems to have a selfie with a bomber behind
camera
it.
Camera five.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
yes.
And every single picture, you know, and if you don't realize this about your devices, every picture, date, time spent, and geo-tracked.
Yeah.
So unless you specifically go in and deselect your phone from doing that, that data is on every picture. So easy now for them to put a timeline.
Like a flip book of Mickey Mouse. Like you can watch them. Like, I mean, I'm making the bombers doily.
Doily.
They walk doily down the street and drop off their backpack, all in selfies taken by other
people. Other people.
It's fucking nuts.
Right.
That's
true.
Pretty crazy.
That's
so
true.
Let's just stop committing crimes, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Because you're about to get caught.
Yeah, someone's watching.
Katie, you had some other headline you wanted to throw in.
I did, actually.
Unless we've already covered it, because I don't know what we've covered.
We did not. Now, this is sad. Super sad, lady. nuns on the run. A nun getting 3 years in prison for a nuke protest.
Oh, I did read something about this.
So
she's like 80 some odd years
84.
Old. 84.
And like, really, if you could see her picture and if you Google...
she looks like she should make cookies.
Nuns on the run. Yeah, I mean, she looks like the sweetest little old...
Was that a Beatles song?
Well, she's protesting nukes. That's kind of noble.
Was that a Beatles
it
song?
Is.
Nuns on the run.
But no,
that was Wings. That was Wings.
Soli. Pikachu.
Yeah, so this lady, 24, have another glass of wine appreciation. This 84-year-old nun.
Thanks, Hoda. Yeah.
And now back to Kathleen. Oh, nope, she's down.
Go ahead, Katie.
So she was sentenced on Tuesday to 3 years in prison. She broke into a nuclear weapons complex.
Oh, God complex, bless her.
And defaced a bunker holding bomb-grade uranium. So kind of scary. I mean, this is not like granny shit. But she was demonstrating that exposed serious security flaws at the Tennessee plant.
They should give her a medal.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to Tennessee. Like, what's with Tennessee?
She's 84 and she's breaching security.
But really to prove like how unsafe we are.
Yeah.
Two other peace activists who broke into the facility with this woman, Megan Rice, were sentenced to more than 5 years in prison, in part because they had much longer criminal histories than the nun.
She's in good company.
Send her in. She's clean.
Yeah. They said there was never any danger of the protesters reaching materials that could be detonated. The break-in raised questions about safekeeping, and ultimately they felt like they needed to punish these people.
Every bank in the world needs to hire this grandma. Well, she's not a grandma. She's a nun, so I'm guessing she doesn't have the offspring. But they need to hire this bitch because she looks unassuming. She's going to walk in a habit or not, and just infiltrate. So let her go. She's going to be part of this whole thing. Don't put her in prison.
Let her break in everywhere.
Right. This is the next generation, and it is for these people that we are willing to give our lives. You know, I am... This is how she, you know, she's a nun and she's like saying, I'm going to give my life for the safety of the next generation. And this is bullshit that we have this.
Somebody
uranium.
Now, where was this?
Tennessee.
In Tennessee. Somehow, like, somebody will fight to communicate her sentence and be done with that because I don't think that'll last.
Right.
I think something will bubble up and she'll get out. The other people have criminal records and she didn't, right?
She did not. No. Yeah. Rice is a sister of the Society of the Holy Child Jesus. Holy Child Jesus.
Start over. What is it again?
The Pikachu Child Jesus.
It's a sister in the Society of the Holy Child Jesus. She became a nun when she was 18 and served 40 years as a missionary in Western Africa teaching science. So, you know.
I like when they call themselves like the Sisters of Perpetual Sorrow. That is not a catchy
title. But she says she has no remorse about the break-in and she would do it again.
Atta girl.
Yeah, the judge said that he was concerned that demonstrators showed no remorse and he wanted their punishment to be a deterrent for other activists.
So she took a vow of poverty because she's a nun. I'm assuming that's what she did, right? So now she's done this. She's brought it to light. She gets three hots and a cot in prison, and she can spread the word of her Jesus.
Really, there really is no real difference.
There's no difference.
No, she's just in a different version of a monastery. Yeah, or not a monastery.
A nunnery. A convent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pikachu.
Exactly.
Gesundheit type.
You're welcome.
So anyway, nuns be getting crazy up in Knoxville. And in our last fun news story of the day, there is a rampage happening in Arizona.
What?
Be afraid, everyone. Lock your doors and stay in your houses. Chihuahuas are on a rampage.
Oh,
in all capital letters. This is actually ABC News.
ABC News report.
Let's go live in Chopper 15.
And I just wish we could zoom in on this.
That dog is an ugly dog.
This is the photo that accompanies
the story.
That's
the face of fear, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a chihuahua on a rampage if I've ever seen one.
I want to go on record now and just stop the viewership. I hate chihuahuas on a rampage.
I'm not a big fan.
They are on the loose in an Arizona neighborhood, and they are flooding animal control offices with reports of these roaming strays. It is the Maryvale neighborhood.
Well, of course it is.
Well, it's my neighborhood, too. You know, the people next door to me left that dog.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They left, and they left that chihuahua.
It was a chihuahua. They are actually calling Maryvale.
Survival of the fittest.
They are calling it infested with chihuahuas. And, like, I'm all
like
set.
Like Sochi.
I'm all set with, like, most things until they are infesting an area. Yeah. Like, I actually like chihuahuas.
Locusts are one of the things you don't want to have infesting.
No.
I've heard.
Cockroaches.
Just north of, like, 9th Street in Weldon is infested with cats. It's practically Rome's Colosseum.
Oh, Kelly and I, when she was walking me out tonight, we were taking out the garbage, and we walked out, and there was this huge, fat, filthy, feral, crazy fucking looking cat sitting in our driveway, but like close up to our door. And we opened the door and we both froze because like we're terrified of this alley cat. And it's just looking at us like, don't even try me, bitches. I mean, it was like not scared. It wasn't running.
Midnight. See if that works.
If Al comes over and sings to the cat.
Try that next time.
That Pikachu will run.
He may climb in your lap. Pikachu.
Pikachu will run.
May I do a song from Andrew Lloyd Webber for you?
Maybe Pikachu.
Sir or ma'am. Meow, meow.
If you just bring up Andrew Lloyd Webber, you may get him out of there just with that.
No, I'll leave. I'm out.
Sorry.
She threatened me with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
My bad.
Cream.
The cat just backs away, paws in the air. We're good.
I'm out.
Yeah. Raising the roof. I'm out of here. Meow, 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 meow.
He's like, my bad, ma'am.
Meow you later. Pikachu.
Yeah, now the three black cats that used to infest my area,
like a beginning of a joke or a story. I'm not sure. Because you used to date a black cat, if you know what I'm saying.
I did. He got Pikachu. So anyways, I didn't mind because the old man that used to live next to me had two orange trees that he was not physically able to pick the fruit from.
So that equals rats.
Right. So I'm like, keep the cats.
Extermination.
Let them walk around.
Self-extermination.
Well, over time, the new Gabers moved in. All is well. They got rid
Thank
of the
God.
Trees. Life is good. I think maybe the straight couple did it, and then the Gabers took
Everyone
it
Everyone loves
them.
A Gaber.
So these those cats seem to have gone, but now there's this big fluffy looking thing who doesn't look feral or wild. Like, he might be somebody's just outdoor cat, which I think just means...
what does that mean?
I don't know.
So weird.
But it, like, sleeps on my car and it walks up and down the wall and we have a very respectful relationship. You don't fuck with me, I won't sing songs from cats to you.
And he knows.
Pikachu.
Yeah. I'm a Pikachu, bitch, but I'm not gonna sing if you leave me alone.
Midnight. Alone in the moonlight.
Jesus Christ.
After one of our nights here and we talked about cats, I did go home and watch one of the songs, and it was horrible.
It is.
It really is just bad.
Every night a little death. That's really, how I describe really bad. Going to see cats.
Anyway, the last piece of our news was beware of Chihuahuas on the prowl. Everybody, if you're in Maryvale, watch out, people.
If only they had a musical about them.
Chihuahuas.
Oh no!
It's more like
they just drive.
They're like squeak toys that live.
They just shake and piss. That's all they do. I can't stand them. That's all they do. Those little goddamn dogs. And I'm not surprised.
That sounds like me on a first date.
Incontinence is not our friend.
Hey, Al is free and he's available at 555. Yeah. Exactly. He's actually single.
Mostly due to the shaking and pissing. Yeah.
But
with a gassy kicker. They say,
a gassy float.
So they say this is in Maryvale. Now, here's what, and I'm going to paint with a broad brush, and if you want to write letters, please do so. I don't care. In that area.
Where would you send them to?
No, well, we'll get an address.
Studio C, Arizona.
Just send it to Studio C.
Like,
right, fuckers.
Right, Santa. Where's that fucking going?
But in Maryvale, because of the economic surroundings of that area,
sure,
and who live there,
yeah,
there are a lot of, and I'm going to just go, there's a lot of ethnicity that lives there, and a lot of them like those little dogs.
They do. They're
And they're just everywhere. So if they let them out, they fuck like rabbits, those little bastards, and they're just those little mice looking things are everywhere.
They do. They have a lot of sex, and the dogs with
each
other.
Oh, the dogs. Okay, yeah. Good.
But also,
again, see, shaking and peeing leads to sex.
But they are super, it's really actually sad for the dogs, but they are disposable. And, yeah, you know, like, we had them running around in our neighborhood.
You just used the word disposable,
yes,
in reference to an animal.
Dogs, because we had some
Marnie
motherfucking
would
renters who were they were just tacky pants McGee's all over the place.
Totes McGoats.
Like, oh my goats. God, I had a gift for you tonight. I'll have to bring it next time.
All right, well.
It's a
that
goat.
Just reminded me.
Oh, a goat.
Spoiler alert.
I'm getting a goat or a tote. I'm not sure.
It's a tote.
Cake or death. Cake or death. Death. Damn it. Cake.
35, 24.
Goat
pretty girl.
Tote.
Pretty girl.
Goat or tote. Pretty girl. Pretty girl. Oh, National Wine Day. What a treat.
Oh, we do enjoy it. Please. Our episode of Kathy Lee and Hoda continues right here on Q Talk America.
That bitch has got my dream job again. She's
exactly. Katie, are you done with that story?
I am, except for that my tacky neighbors left them. Cute Chihuahuas running in my neighborhood, tried to save them. ASPCA. Or by that I meant Maricopa County.
And
snagged them. Snagged them and bagged them.
The free range Chihuahua in my neighborhood is sadly missing. So
yeah. It made me sad because they're Chihuahuas. They were shaking and peeing, but they were living like in the side of my carport.
And they never shit on that thing. Never shit on my lawn. So I was okay with
that. Yeah, sad.
There's that. 8:36. It's time to go to Al Perkins and his all the shapes and loves of Pikachu and entertainment.
Pikachu entertainment. We gotta stretch because I don't have a lot.
We don't care.
Okay. The British Academy of Film and Television Awards.
The BAFTAs!
But they don't give any television awards, so they're kind of the BAFAs.
Oh.
Workaholics is back on the air for those of you who like a sophomoric.
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah. Hannibal is coming back. Looking, I think, is very interesting. And someone died. Oh, the father from the Waltons. And again, how is he still alive? So for those of you who like stoner humor about three guys that I don't know. I always have an erection during this show. not this show right now, currently.
Good, thank you.
I just got a little warmer in here.
Pikachu probably contracted a little bit.
But Workaholics is this, and these guys are getting famous because the Adam Devine, I think is his name, he ended up on and Pitch Perfect, and he's now he's now the Manny on Modern Family, mm-hmm. And so he's got that going on. The tall guy Anders, or Anders. He was on the Mindy Project for like almost a whole season.
Yeah.
But they do this workaholic show with, and the guy with the long hair does a commercial, and I can't think of what the commercial is for, but they're so fucking funny. They're always stoned. They're always drunk. They're 20-somethings that work at a
horrible call center.
A horrible call center. And they don't take it seriously. And they just have all these pranks. They have an awful boss. And like the most racially inappropriate jokes going on at everyone's expense. They're always stoned. They're always drunk. They sit on their roof and smoke joints and throw things at people.
I mean, it is basically amazing.
Basically amazing.
But they're always like talking about like jacking off and not being able to get laid and how hard they are and how much they can come. And
they're like just such pathetic losers. They like can't get chicks. They are just losers.
Is there a Dungeons and Dragons game going on during this too?
No, but there are
video games.
Yeah, there are video games. And their pot dealer Carl is always around, and Carl's always in trouble. And one day they arrest him because they think he's a child molester.
They're like, just like total losers. But they don't know. They don't know it, or they won't cop to it. Like they want to like front that they're hard and amazing and get chicks. And
yeah, they're all like ghetto fabulous.
Brand of humor is just fucking hilarious. It is really, really, really stupid, stupid fun.
Yeah, and it just is in the worst possible taste. But the best.
I feel like we're really trying to sell you on this. We're both looking at you. You are like, come on, workaholics.
Because you're going
to
be trapped at my house one day, and I'm going to make you watch an episode. Because eventually, I want to sleep with all three of them. But because they're just dirty. And so the one time they had the girl that they work with, who was like, there's only two girls in the cast.
She's just a moron. And I just love her. She's just blissfully unaware about everything in life.
She's even more stupid than they are. But every once in a while, she takes power. Well, she was on a Justin Bieber fan site. And she's all offended because there's a sexual predator on the fan site. So they decided they're all offended by the guy that's being a predator on a Justin Bieber site. So they decide they're going to like do a sting operation and lure them to their house and beat the shit out of them. But then they realize that they accidentally got Carl, their drug dealer, arrested when they were on block watch one week, but they were stoned. So Carl got arrested and they got a new, this big and fancy bong, the vaporizer, but they had no pot for it. So their life was all bleak. So the Justin Bieber child molester comes to the door and they're all set to beat him up. And he's like, hey, is that a vaporizer? I got some killer weed. And they're like, damn it! So he ended up smoking pot with him and becoming kind of friendly with him and trying to decide how much of his pot they can smoke before they beat him up. And it's so fucking wrong. But it's back on. It's on a Wednesday nights on Comedy Central.
Oh, it is fun.
It's on after Tosh.0, and it's just crazy fun.
But I have been excited when I've seen those guys break out and be doing more stuff.
Yeah.
More mainstream. It's cool.
Because they write the show. They created it. They write it. They direct a lot of the episodes. Like, and there's three of them, and there's a guy that's off camera. Or it might be Carl. I've never figured out who the fourth guy is. But there's four of them that are the whole creative force behind it. And it's,
I think it's Carl, because on the end, when they show the four guys, it's all of them and then Carl.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure, but yeah. It's very funny. Hannibal starts back February 28th. It looks brilliant. The cheapest show ever made for American television because it's all financed in Europe. And turns out this show is pretty much guaranteed four seasons because all the countries that it plays in are willing to pay for it. And NBC is just like, we'll throw you $5. Give us that fucking show. We need something for Friday nights. So Hannibal comes back February 28th, and it looks really exciting. Gillian Anderson is back as Hannibal's psychiatrist. So not only is Hannibal being a psychiatrist for others and secretly murdering them and eating them, but he has a psychiatrist, and we've never found out what her secret is. But it seems like someone that he referred to her tried to kill her, and she was in retirement because she didn't want any involvement with any more damaged people. So she takes on Hannibal as her only patient. So how creepy is that? That her own, like, she wanted to get away from, like, killers and serial killers, and she only has, like, the best serial killer as her only patient. And they're always in a room together chatting, and she looks fantastic.
I love serial.
Oh, God. But she's in a new show, so because she's the busiest fucking woman alive, and she looked great at the BAFTAs, she's on a show called Crisis that starts in March on NBC.
Okay.
So she's going to have her own series, be on this series, and still make things for British television.
The one thing I'm really excited about, I think it's a new NBC show, is it's called, people coming back to life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that does look really good.
Yeah, what's it called?
I can't think what that's called.
People Coming Back to Life.
It's such a good show. We don't even know what it's called.
Pikachu.
It's so exciting.
Pikachu. It's called Pikachu. Yeah. Yes, that is right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we'll get out of this. Let me go to the real page. So the British Academy of Film and Television Awards were held.
Good.
And
now, it was held. Did they broadcast it here already?
On the BBC. It was broadcast on Saturday. Because
we watched it last year together and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Same host, just as funny.
Was he just as funny with one-liners and stuff?
Yeah, he just can't help himself. So funny. So nothing has been cleared up as far as do we have an idea of what will win something? No, we do not.
Okay.
The big movie, Philomena, which was the story about the woman who was trying to find her her child that was taken from her and put up for adoption, is a big, huge international hit for such a small little movie with Judi Dench and Steve Coogan.
Do you think give me your reasoning for why you think that movie has made it so big.
I'm not sure, and they're not sure. I keep watching the interviews, and they're not sure why it's striking a chord with so many people.
I'm going to give you what I think it is, and I've not seen the movie, and I'm only playing this on. I know the reaction that you had personally when you saw it, but my guess is because so many people I know you don't routinely watch it. Did you happen to see The View today?
No, I did not.
There was a gentleman on there. In fact, I want you to see it because it's a very interesting story. It has to do with a baby stolen in a hospital. 18 months later, this baby was found, and the parents claimed him. Come to find out that it wasn't him. There's a DNA thing. He's now looking for his biological parents, blah, 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 blah. Wow. But the point I was making in regards to the story is I don't know that I know a lot of people that who are adopted. I do know some, obviously. Yeah. But I'm wondering, is this really striking a chord internationally, because the story is so similar to so many people's stories?
It could be, and the fact that it's so well done, like it's not melodramatic. It's truly like a road picture of this reporter and this
very
woman.
Matter of fact, right?
Yeah, kind of traveling around, getting to know each other. She slowly tells her story. He becomes more and more interested in her story as she tells it and gets to like her more. And it's a wonderful movie. And so the BAFTAs really took it on, and it was nominated for quite a few things. And in a surprising thing, adapted screenplay against 12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, The Wolf of Wall Street. And because in Britain, Behind the Candelabra was not a TV movie, it actually was released
in
as
theaters.
It was intended as a theatrical release. It was there, and Philomena actually won Best Adapted Screenplay.
Oh.
And so that was kind of a big deal for them going into the Oscars, that they're riding a little bit of momentum on this movie, that may be the award that they throw at them.
Have you seen the Philomena movie, Katie?
No, I haven't, but I've loved the ads, and as I've heard all of the great press, I'm interested.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Well, I'm thinking of going this coming Saturday, because I had to skip Valentine's Day with Mom. We're going to do ours this coming Saturday. We're going to go to dinner, and I threw out dinner and a movie, and I don't know what movie to go see.
And I would pick that one. I think you'll like it. It's funny in the right parts, sad at the right parts. It's very well, just because it's not melodramatic. It's not that typical like kick you in the teeth kind of sad or happy. Like it just kind of goes along. And Judi Dench, I don't think has ever been better. I think, well, Notes on a Scandal. So she has been better, but
okay. This
is her second best.
Okay.
So interesting. The weird thing about this, and it turns out, is Alfonso Cuarón, again, won Best Director. That is your sure thing for the evening of the Oscars, is if you're in the Oscar pool, just check Alfonso Cuarón for Best Director. That show's over.
Wait,
he won.
For what? I'm sorry.
For Gravity.
Oh.
So he won. So it turns out he makes most of his movies, including Children of Men, in Great Britain. He films at whatever the studios are where they film all the James Bond movies. It's for some reason leaving me. So it got a surprise, what everyone thought was a surprise nomination for a, you know, Spanish-speaking director with an American actress. Why are Shepherds? It's something with shepherds. Anyways, but why is this movie up for Outstanding British Film? Well, the BAFTAs, because every time that these two movies come head-to-head, they split the fucking vote, PGA Awards, they split it. Best Film overall, 12 Years a Slave, Outstanding British Film, Gravity. We're at another dead heat. This is a truly an exciting year. No one knows what's going to win Best Picture. There is no Matthew McConaughey or Jared Leto in the British Academy Awards. They weren't nominated. So Chiwetel Ejiofor won for Best Actor, which means that my love Leonardo DiCaprio is probably has no chance of winning an Oscar for Best Actor.
That's
I know.
Sad.
But it's okay.
What about, what's his face? Good old Jared Leto.
Wasn't not nominated in this one. Oh. Jennifer Lawrence, though, wins for Best Supporting Actress, which makes... That makes the Best Supporting Actress. Will it be Lupita Nyong'o or will it be Jennifer Lawrence? It's still there's a lot of exciting categories. This year's Academy Awards are not going to be boring by any means this year. So that was about it. Gravity won every single technical award that they were up for. The Grace Gatsby won costume design and production design, which means that Leonardo DiCaprio's movies are going to win like three Oscars, and he's not going to get. So that's about it. But they were very exciting. And if you get a chance, they're on BBC. They repeat them all the time. For like a week, they're kind of like the VH1 award shows. It's just an entertaining couple hours. Emma Thompson was funny. The host was funny. The awards was funny. And
I would watch it just for the host. He was so funny.
He was
and
very
he jabbed
funny.
He jabbed at everybody and even himself and all of Britain. Like he just jabbed at everything.
Yeah. And they just get it done. Like very funny. And
it's in a beautiful hall wherever they have
it's
it.
It's in the opera house in Covent Gardens.
It's a beautiful
that I can pull out of my ass, but I can't think of the studios where the la 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 the James Bond movies were filmed. Okay, so Elaine Stritch, God bless her, has
speaking of Hoda and Kathy Lee.
So
my God.
So she has a new documentary out just about being Elaine Stritch because. No one else has ever been Elaine Stritch before. So her new documentary is coming out, and she's just funny. She did a show a few years ago. I can't remember if it was called I'm Still Here, but it toured. It was phenomenal. And, you know, she talks about all the people she slept with, how drunk she was, how she was able to, like, she was the understudy for Ethel Merman in Call Me Madam on Broadway while she was doing Pal Joey.
I need to Google
previews.
Her. I don't know who she is.
You will as soon as you see her.
She was Jack's mother on 30 Rock. She's that old woman.
The old lady that she winds up dying in the series. Spoiler alert. But
yeah.
Also sang Here's to the Ladies Who Lunch.
She's the original Ladies Who Lunch from Company. And
funny, funny woman.
But she's been around for 1,000 years. She was drunk. She slept with Marlon Brando when he was first young. And she tells a story about sleeping with Marlon Brando, and the next day she comes back to rehearsals for whatever play they're in, and she's all excited because she thinks, this is the hottest fucking guy in the world, and he's just all been up inside me. And I went up, and he's like, I need two things from you, dear. I need silence and distance. And, like, she just tells a story, like, point blank.
Mm.
And she is just a treat. So she went on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda, and...
Otherwise called, what is the other name
for
that?
No, let me get to it because it's
okay,
the article.
Go ahead.
So I'm just going to read to you the AV Club, which is like the Onion sister publication. I hope I can do this justice, and please forgive me if I don't.
You can.
Like her fellow Detroit export Iggy Pop, Elaine Stritch is a punk who doesn't play by your provincial rules regarding polite decorum, morning talk shows, or properly sized eyeglasses. So when the 89-year-old actress, who probably most familiar to AV Club readers for 30 Rock, appeared on Today We Watch Kathy Lee and Hoda Drink for Tomorrow We May Die to promote the new documentary about her life, she did it with a brassy panache for which she is known. Which is to say, Stritch wore enough fur to clothe the cast of Dr. Zhivago. She put her feet in Kathy Lee's lap and barked out the word fuck like we all shall do when we finally become 89-year-old women. Coda McGifford, who practically dared Stritch to do it with all her talk about how Stritch just says whatever she wants to say and isn't that amazing, recoiled with shock of their shattered barrel-aged innocence, which they'd spent years carefully preserving in Merlot. And so Stritch, after she says fuck, says, I made a serious point by that, she says, and she can say whatever the fuck she wants. So he's got the audio of Elaine Stritch on, wait, let me say the name of the show again, because it is really funny.
That is funny.
Today we watch Kathy Lee and Hoda Drink for Tomorrow We May Die.
We May Die.
Elaine, you are so beloved, but as much for your work, of course, but for your mouth.
Yes.
You know, you say whatever you want to say. When did that
and
all
thank
happen?
God it hasn't been not passed on television.
No.
If you just say things naturally, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, they just think and fuck.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay. We bleeped it. Yes, we bleeped it. Good, good.
No, you didn't.
Well, I don't know who had the foresight to record that show and just post that immediately on YouTube because it's out there.
Kathy Lee and Hoda, because they knew they would go viral and they'd get some more viewers.
That is fantastic when you see it. It just because she is 89 years old.
And she has her feet
old.
On Kathy Lee's lap.
In a wheelchair.
She's in a giant fur coat.
I'm looking at her picture with her huge fur hat.
The hat. Yeah, exactly. That picture. She's fantastic, but she's sitting in a wheelchair and she's barking. You hear the whole cast and crew, the stagehands, all laughing with whatever the hell she's talking about. That was so funny. When you tagged me in that post today on Facebook, I immediately went to it because I watched an early part of them and then I had to go to a meeting and so I didn't get to see it, but then I watched it, of course, when you posted it.
Today we watch Kathy Lee and Hoda drink wine for tomorrow. We may die.
We need a fancier name for our show.
We do,
to do
because
that.
I really love them. And I love that they drink wine at 10 a.m.
So it's called. What is
and have you seen the shot tray?
Oh, they have a shot tray now.
What they do is they have.
That's like a shot ski. They're like doing frat boy activities.
And there's a number, and I'm sure that there's a specific number of the shot glasses based on something else to do with the Olympics. I want to say there are 20 shot glasses on a tray sitting on their table, intermixed with vodka and water, and they don't know which one it is. So Hoda only does it because Kathy Lee's too chicken shit to do it. So every day,
they do
an update on the Olympics, and then they grab a random shot glass, and you never know if it's going to be water or vodka. And the look on Hoda's face when it is vodka, she just changes. And Kathy is like, it's distilled water. It's distilled water. And like Hoda's like, no, it's
that
not.
That shit's vodka.
Now, did we talk about it last week? Or I don't know, when did Mary Carrillo do the thing on the vodka?
Oh, we talked about it last week. When Bob Costas' eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back, by the way.
Yes, he's back. Now history was made. Not only did Matt Lauer stay up for like 48 straight hours because he had to do the Today Show
and
live in New York, but then he had to do the primetime coverage of Sochi Olympics, which turns out is at the same time. So he was... No, because the live... Yeah, so what they were doing... When they're broadcasting, that really is nighttime. So then when he was doing his parts with the stuff they were showing, that was like in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was, so just crazy hours. And then Meredith Vieira, who is one of the people that I'm quoting from the story about 2004, because she had just left, you know, she used to be with 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the one with the news ties.
Wait, she was with 60 Minutes?
Yeah, she's the only one with legit, she was like the only news one besides Barbara Walters that had legit news cred.
I didn't know she was with 60 Minutes.
Yeah, for a long, and an Emmy winner from there, too.
Oh, interesting.
So she is the first woman to ever host primetime Olympics.
No, I didn't realize that.
In any capacity. Not even, like, there has never even been a co-anchor. And she did the whole night, and she was very good. And she, I don't know if you watch her, if you're familiar with her, she has a filthy sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
She would fit right in with Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
Talks about drinking, talks about sex, like really funny.
I do enjoy Meredith.
And so she had to dial it back. And so people thought she was kind of, people thought she was a little stoic and all this stuff. But they're like, well, if she lets out the Bob Costas sense of humor, she's just going to be a total bitch.
She's fantastic.
So I was very excited for her that she got that yet another experience because she quit the Today Show. She's kind of just wandering around with
nothing
to do.
She retired. Spent more time with her husband who is still, he has been ill for some time.
Yeah.
So I believe she's retired for that. One of the things that I noticed, and this is one of the continuity things that I should be a continuity director for films because when I see shots and I'm like, wait a minute, that's the same shot, only they've moved something or whatever. So because I always watch the NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams. I always have. So I watch the shot that they've got. Now, I'm assuming he's legitimately outside in Olympic Village. He is in front of the flame and that pond that sparkles, which I think is beautiful. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, it's beautiful. That Olympic Village is gorgeous.
So he is at this shot and always over his left shoulder. They've got the flame. They superimpose pictures over it, blah, 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 blah. So he cuts to, I want to say Chris Jansen, whatever reporter it was. And I'm like, she's in the same shot. How do they do that? Because she's live. I don't know how they do it. I would love to know all the trickery they do.
Oh, it's probably like The Daily Show, that they're standing right next to each other with the same background.
Yeah.
But he's standing in front of a light. I don't know how they would green screen that and make it not, because it looks live. He's outside.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm just trying to figure it out. I know they have all kinds of trickery in TV and radio, and I get all that. But it's really interesting. Like, she's standing in front of the exact same shot. So either they've got a static shot, he's standing somewhere else in a tent that's all heated and perfect, and they just have a static shot. It just doesn't look green screen to me. But yeah. I'm like, don't do the same shot. It's like when they did all that gavel-to-gavel coverage here of Jody Arias' trial.
Oh, and they were like, they're 2 feet away.
And so you see one person here and one person here, and the bus goes by in this shot, and then it goes by in that shot. And you're like, stupid.
We're going to cut to Nancy Grace. Yeah. Nancy, where are you? I'm right here!
I'm 10 feet from you, you cunt.
You stupid.
Pikachu.
I'm a Pikachu right over here, bitch.
If you're going to pull the illusion of being in two different places on TV, use a different shot. It would just makes more sense to me. Anyway, these are my little things that I bitch about.
I would have to agree with you. And I don't know if it's because I'm enjoying all of the networks of NBC and Universal, but I have to say, like, this has been my favorite Olympics. Like, I've seen so much and so much drama, and that not edited with tearjerker stories has been so good. I mean, the combined events where they jump off something and then they cross-country ski for three days.
And shoot at something, the biathlon?
No, the biathlon is the other one. I watched that with a rifle strapped to their back in the
not
rain.
Not a banana
60
suit.
60 degrees. The only thing that has snow on it is where they're actually skating.
Right.
And everything else is green.
Tropical.
And
blush. Sure.
That was so funny today. They're like, it's literally raining. We don't even know what to do. The first one was canceled due to fog, which means that the weather's going to warm.
Yeah, no shit.
But then they did it later, and all the snow is completely gone. They're just on this ice rink, and they just go in one big giant fucking circle. Because you know all these winter events are just made up of, like, all the different ways people escape from the Nazis. Like,
oh, yeah. He said it, ladies and gentlemen. Al, I'm going to Pikachu.
How often do people, like, jump off something, then cross-country scream for 5 miles?
And then shoot something.
Unless you're being chased by the Germans in World War I, or later the Nazis in World War II.
Because that cross-country skiing is pretty fucking crazy. Like, the tracks they're in, and, I mean, the whole thing.
Because if you watch it in other countries, it doesn't start and end in the same place, and they don't just go around in a circle for 6 fucking miles. They actually trek through, like, Albertville, Norway, or Lillehammer. But these people are going around, and they must be thinking, like, am I high, or have I seen this tree before?
What's happening right now?
I feel like I've been here.
Are we going in circles? Look, there's Bob Costas. Meredith Vieira.
I think his left eye's pink, too.
It's the end of hour two. We got one more hour coming at you. I'm sure there's going to be more vodka. Well, maybe, I don't know, wine. They're doing wine. It's a wine day something celebration. I forget what it is, but we'll talk about more about that. Thoughtful Vulgarity coming up in a bit. Katie's going to have some sports and other stuff and many other things we're going to talk about. We'll be back on Q-Talk America in just moments. Stick with us.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody out there in radio land. Everybody listening in the United States, Malaysia, and New Zealand, and anybody watching us right now on camera. Hello,
this is
Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Katie June and Al Perkins. Marnie Ryer has the week off, as she has other things to do, more important than being with us and talking about Pikachu, which is our drinking word for this week. Every time you hear us say it, enjoy a beverage. We do.
What do the Russians say when they drink? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I want to say perestroika, but I think that means
Opa!
Like...
Opa! That's Greeks. That's fun.
That's Greek.
Greeks are
but
fun.
Don't drink Greek wine. It's shitty.
Ouzo, for that matter.
Ooh.
But it'll get you fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Ouzo, maybe it may taste like ass, but let me tell you, get you there.
That's a party. That's a party in a bottle.
A short trip and a small bottle.
So I lied. I have two things. First, Jimmy Fallon was back last night.
Yes, let's talk about that.
That's the start of the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Now, first of all, did anybody watch the ending? Did anybody watch Leno's second last one?
Yes,
because he had one 4 years ago.
No. I did, and Billy Crystal was very charming.
Good.
I
enjoyed the reenactment of The Sound of Music, where they all came out and had their part. Carol Burnett, Oprah, all of the different people came out and sang, laid on his desk and sang. I thought that was interesting. Oddly placed. I thought it was kind of odd But yeah. Whatever. God damn it, that's Carol Burnett.
I don't get his sense of humor, but I like what he... like.
Billy Crystal or Jay Leno?
Jay Leno.
I don't either.
always love him for bringing Ross the intern into our lives.
Of course, I agree.
That's a sign that he knows things that are funny when he sees them. Because...
but not really, because what did someone said that the Tonight Show is where comedy goes, where jokes go to die. That's
but
what I've seen
you've got,
over and
but
over again.
You've got to give him credit, and sadly, and I'm totally a Letterman person. Always have been.
Yeah, me too.
But he's been number one in his time slot for the longest time.
Mariah Carey's number one. She's crap. So.
But the demographics are what were they were hoping to skew younger because Fallon's clearly going to pull younger. Letterman pulls younger, and Letterman's older than Leno.
Yeah.
Well, it's
but Letterman's also way funnier.
Oh, absolutely.
Although, way funnier.
Yeah, Letterman is funnier because he's a little bit more honest
he's
and crass.
A smart ass.
And yeah, whereas Jay Leno just
so
has
staged.
To be like too
politically
too staged,
correct.
Too rehearsed.
And so I think that's why. The younger set likes Letterman
because he's more on the edge.
But Jimmy Fallon is just fucking funny. And like he's young and like he just does.
And Jimmy
funny
Fallon's
shit.
Having the time of his.
Oh,
he's been having the time of his life for like years now. Like,
what I didn't realize because I didn't really watch Fallon. I remember because again I fell out of the SNL realm a long time ago. How long ago was he on that? How long was that
like
been?
Eight years.
Okay,
it's been a little while.
So I happened to catch, and I would enjoy watching it again. They did, I guess, like a.
Ooh, no, it might be 10. I want to say it was 4.
It was a 2-hour special of the greatest moments of Jimmy Fallon.
I love
Jimmy
when
Fallon.
They do. Oh. I
sat there for 2 hours
this.
And laughed my ass off because I had no idea of how fantastically funny he was and all the shit and who comes on his show. Everybody comes on his show.
Oh, yeah. And he's legit.
He's standing there with Mick Jagger doing Mick Jagger.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I say. I don't say it to be like glib or anything like that. He's legitimately having the time of his life.
Right, yeah. He is.
Like he gets to play along. Like he sang with Paul McCartney on Saturday Night Live, and you
scrambled
could just see
eggs.
It on his face.
And he's
like,
I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, like,
no,
what
right.
the fuck?
Because that was the original lyrics to Yesterday.
Yeah.
He wrote out he knew the melody, but he's just like, scrambled eggs, how I love you, scrambled eggs. And he's like, but you've never sung that Republic. And he goes, well, no. He goes, you want to do it now? And they stood up and sang the entire lyrics of Scrambled Eggs. It was hilariously
funny.
Well,
he's just giggly. And then he did the opening. He hosted the Emmys that one year where they did... the opening was Born to Run, and he got all the people. He got the people from Glee. He got all those big stars, people from Lost. Everybody was there. And as he walked into the auditorium, like he was pulling the kids from Glee, he was pulling the people from Lost, and they all like ran on stage and did the 1, 2, 3, 4. They go into the thing of Born to Run, and you're just watching him. He's like, I'm doing Bruce Springsteen. Like I'm doing what I do in my bedroom. Any
on stage and getting
week,
paid for
and
it.
And I'm on stage in front of millions of people singing Born to Run like I'm really a rock star and I'm clearly not.
You know, and I think he's just like, I think he's really genuine, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And what I loved about his, I actually have never been a late night TV person and I am up late at night, but I was tired last night. I was ready to go to bed, but I thought, I just want to watch this. I just like, I need to stay up and see this. And I loved how he came out and he was kind of sentimental in the beginning and he goes, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come out every night. I'm going to say this. I'm going to stand here. And then he goes, all right, so let's take it from the top. And he comes back out again. And after he's kind of said thank you, done his thank yous, and then he starts the show. It was very cute. His dad was in the audience and his dad was trying to like spit some comedy from the audience. His dad was not mic'd. And he was genuinely laughing, going, well, my dad's up there trying to do bits in the audience. I mean, it was just like hilarious. And they cut back and his dad's like, yeah. I mean, it was just so funny and genuine. And I just love it. He's great. He did a funny skit where the opening where he says, my friend who bet me that I wouldn't be at this place, who bet me that I couldn't pull this off, he owes me $100. And he goes, you know who you are. And then they just like parade of celebrities comes out one after the other and drops $100 bills. And it's really funny. And it's, and as you're watching it, you're like, it's just surprising because it's all these like, what, this person? And it's cool. And, and he does some of his classics, like the history of hip hop dance. You know, he does.
He did with Will Smith. I heard. I haven't recorded. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen a couple highlights.
Really fun.
I was
really
working,
funny.
So I saw off and on.
Yeah.
But the part that I was going to bring up that I just loved was Joan Rivers came back.
Yeah. First time in 30 or 40 years. She had
almost
30,
years. Like 28, 28
she
has, years.
She was banned from the Tonight Show.
Oh.
Yeah, Johnny Carson banned her a long
and that's still,
time ago.
And that's still one of the most heartbreaking entertainment series ever.
I don't get it. Like,
she was the permanent guest host because Johnny Carson had been, he was just such an institution.
Sure.
That he only worked 3 days a week. He didn't even do the whole 5. He only did three shows a week, and there was always guest hosts, and they were fun. It was like George Carlin, Jay Leno, David Letterman.
In fairness, this was at the latter part of his career. In the early days, he did all the shows.
Oh, yeah. But
then we're talking in the late mid to late 80s, he started to transition in doing the guest hosts.
Oh, no. And because he
ended in 92.
Yeah,
no.
but she no, was she right. was on...
No, that's
their,
not right.
Their feud, yeah, he ended in 92.
Was it 92?
But their little feud happened in 86.
I don't even know what happened.
So he had guest hosts for years, and David Letterman was a guest host until he got the late show, or whatever it was called.
Right. Late Night with David Letterman.
Late Night with David Letterman, because that was his...
became Late Night with Fallon.
Yeah, it was supposed to be... Conan O'Brien came first.
That's true.
It was supposed to be like how they were going to work Letterman into the Tonight Show was through this late night with David Letterman. But Letterman was one of his permanent hosts, was one of his temporary hosts. Everyone would fill any comedian that had any kind of name at all would do like guest stints on there. George Carlin was there at the time, and at one point he was such a fan of Joan Rivers that around 82, 83, she just became the permanent guest host of the Tonight Show. If he was not on, you just knew it was Joan Rivers, and the guests loved her. She was just fantastic.
Yeah, she is super.
But then she got a chance to do her own late night talk show, and she didn't tell Johnny about it. And so she took the job, and he found out about it in the press that she was going to the new fledgling Fox Network, which was brand spanking new, and that she was going to become his direct competitor, and he never spoke to her again. And she was never back on The Tonight Show and till his death. Like, he went off the air in 92 but didn't die for, like, another 10, 15 years. They were the best friends, and he never spoke to her again.
Wow.
Carried that bitterness. And still, if you watch her A Piece of Work, what's her documentary called?
Yeah.
She talks about it.
Oh, she's heartbroken, and she stays heartbroken to this day. She's like, all right, maybe I fucked up, maybe I did it the wrong way, but he never spoke to me again.
Oh, that was
to be back last night was a big deal.
And Leno never had her on either, even though she...
To kind of hold that...
She's not a big fan of Leno.
Well, Leno's not funny, so...
Yeah.
That was in 86 that her show launched, and then it severed the relationship between her and Carson.
And I think it was 2 or 3 years that she was the permanent guest host.
Wow.
It was quite a while.
I wondered, because she bent over... so one of the people, and no spoiler alerts necessarily, but one of the people was Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson came out and gave Jimmy the $100 bill, and then gave him an envelope and leaned over and said something to him. And I was like, oh my God, is this Mike Tyson being weird and like doing a weird self plug? Like, oh, also look at this thing I'm selling you. Weird. And Jimmy Fallon laughed and put it under the desk. But when Joan Rivers came out, she gave him the $100 bill and bent down and whispered something in his ear, and he kind of gave her a little hug. And it was just like sweet. But I wondered. It seemed like a sweet moment.
She was originally on in the New York studios, because Johnny Carson's the one that took it from New York to LA,
right.
Yeah.
where he wanted to be. So now it's back in New York. It's back in
the original studio.
Original
studio.
I wasn't sure if it was the original studio.
It's so exciting. You know, I did see.
Now they're all in rock, because he loves 30 Rock. Like Jimmy Fallon grew up in 30 Rock.
Sure,
like,
SNL's loves, there. All
it's so fucking cool.
So now you
it's
go back.
So, cool.
So when you go there to New York and you walk down, I think it's 49th Street, you walk down 49th Street and you pass 30 Rock.
That's so cool.
The Christmas tree's out there, the ice skating rink's down
there.
The Rainbow Room, all that.
If you stand there long enough, you're going to see everybody that works at 30 Rock.
Coming around.
Coming out of there. And when they did the 25th anniversary in 2000, I just happened to be in New York, not realizing that that was being filmed, that they were doing the episode. And I have never, and I'm not much of a star fucker, because most of the time I don't recognize people when I see them in public. But we were like, it's Glenn Close, it's Alec Baldwin, it's this person, it's that person. And I'm like, why is every goddamn celebrity that I have ever heard of
here
walking by us? Like, and they're everywhere. So then we go back to Matt's apartment and we turn on the TV, because I'm like, let's watch SNL. And it was the 25th anniversary. And we're like, oh my God, we saw all of these people.
They were all going into film.
But we were just there seeing a show on Saturday. So we were walking around in that area of like 49, I think it's like 49th and 6th.
That's really neat.
But it was just so funny that we saw everybody that was on the TV that night.
It's cool.
It's just cool.
So two more questions, two more little things. I love the Roots. I've actually was a fan of the Roots before Jimmy Fallon.
But for the Jimmy Fallon's band.
And but I did read some criticism today, as people will do, and some of them were trolls, and none of the comments turned directly into Obama that I could tell, but I looked early this morning, so give them time.
Give them time.
But they were all talking about, like, Jimmy Fallon is just really staged, and he's really like prepackaged white bread on white bread, and you know they're trying to give him some like street cred by putting the Roots on. I don't see that. I mean, I think it's really authentic.
The other thing besides him being like so like Ross the intern, he's on the red carpet. He's so genuinely starstruck by people. And so enchanted to meet them that it just comes across as you're like, that's what I would ask. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And with Jimmy Fallon, that's what I, when he interviews people, I always feel like, well, I would ask that too. Like, yeah. I'm kind of a fan. And I think he just genuinely, I think he has good enough taste to have liked the Roots.
Yeah. Like, to really just, like them. Yeah. Yeah. It was just interesting that, and most people had really positive comments, but it was like the trolls that were, you know, so
there's always going to be the haters out there for it.
But I just hope they get rid of that pre-packaged interview that Jay Leno always did where like, so have you been anywhere interesting? Like the question was so like third grader rehearsed to make sure that someone who like is a terrible interview could have a story to tell.
Well, what I think is cool too though is that they did, you know, that they're talking about Jimmy Fallon. He does a lot of skits. He brings a lot of SNL type of event,
which is what Carson
did on his late night show.
You didn't remember that, but Carson always did that.
I never watched Johnny Carson.
The
Karnak.
Oh, Karnak. Oh, my God. That was
and that's
the
like Jimmy Fallon's thank you notes that people
thing.
Love
yeah.
and his singing right. with celebs. And the president came on and like jammed with Jimmy Fallon.
Carson used to do horrible late night these commercials with some hot little baby with him. And he was a horrible, cheesy salesman. And no matter what he was doing to get to the store, he had to turn at the fork in the road. There was always a joke.
Oh, the skits on Letterman were hysterical. Carson.
Because they didn't.
Hysterical.
I don't feel like did they do those on Leno or do I just not
Leno
watch,
did the man
or?
On the street interviews. He did the
Ross
the
funny.
Intern. Those were funny. Yeah, they had their funny bits, but Carson's were acted out.
Like acted
his
like
were
live.
Actual skits.
Ed McMahon was in them and like they always did all kinds of stuff.
They were so fun. From what I like memories of watching those.
You probably won't care, but if you Google Clean Copper Clappers. Him and Jack Webb, who used to be on Dragnet, did an entire skit where the camera, it's literally the camera is right in their face. And I'm sure they're sitting 2 feet apart, but they do an entire thing about Clarin or Clean Copper Clappers because there was a calamity.
Oh,
there was a calamity and they were clobbered. It's very funny. But again, that's just one small example of the live stuff that they used to do.
The Copper Clapper Caper.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It was Clara.
And thank God for you, too, that all this
all
stuff
that's available.
Really.
When my mom worked 3 to 11, so in New York, the Tonight Show was on 11:30. So she would get home. I don't know how the fuck she did it now that I give her a report. I can't figure out how she got home that fast. But she would be home and she'd be like, you're not.
Ruthie always made it happen.
Yeah. She was like, you're not supposed to be up, but can you make me a 7-7? And
I'm already having one, Mom. Here's that.
Can you make me a whiskey and 7? So I would make her drink. She'd go like change into like her pajamas.
God, I loved parents in that age that did that. That's fun.
So
I'm going to do that to Palmer.
She'd have her cocktail and we would always watch the first half hour of the Tonight Show, because you'd get the monologue, you'd get whatever skit they were going to do, and the good guests. But then if you stayed up, like, and sometimes she would go to bed and be like, you're going to turn off the TV and go to bed, right? Yeah, sure. The guests, because they were good at it. They were those 70s celebrities that didn't need to be spoon-fed. So if Chara was on for no reason, Chara would stay for all three guests. And they would all
fun.
Just move down one chair.
I remember
on
that.
The couch, right.
I do remember
and,
that.
And,
then they'd all interact with
Ed
each other
McMahon
and have fun.
Sat next to them. Like, there was Ed McMahon on one side, the guest of the moment, and then Johnny. And then they would just add to it. So, like, Donna Summer would come out and she would sing a song. And then she would sit down. She would meet everybody on the panel. Like, there's a really famous episode where Barbara Streisand comes out and she's brand new. And she sits down with Phyllis Diller.
That's so great.
And is it Johnny Carson? I think it's Jack Parr. Not Jack Parr. Who hosted before Johnny Carson?
Jack Parr.
I think it's Jack Parr. And they just have this whole conversation. And Phyllis Diller is getting off dirty joke after dirty joke. And Barbara Streisand's like 19 years old and brand new. And like, my mom's watching this and you're filthy.
Yeah.
So it was just fun to watch those people.
Did
they weren't necessarily plugging something. But Johnny would be like, all right, we're in L.A. You live down the block. We got time to kill.
Come over.
Come over here.
That's really cool.
You can have a cigarette and a cocktail. Like,
because they used to literally smoke and drink on the show.
And so they'd have a cocktail and a
just
cigarette.
I wish I was alive then.
And I think that's what annoys me about Jay Leno is like, make them stay. Like, make them interact. Yeah. And Rosie O'Donnell tried it for a while, and she was really good at it. On her show, and Mike Douglas used to do it. He had a guest host for the whole week.
They would interact, and they would have conversations that you would never expect, because you would find out.
It's like
how it works.
Because they could actually converse, and now these blank faces come on, and they're like, I went on a vacation, and I saw a puppy.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Well, you have, like, stupid people like Kristen Stewart. Like, who cares about what you have to say?
Because she doesn't say anything.
Right.
And back in the old days, again, if you see it, and sometimes you'll see it if you catch a late night infomercial on, you know, the Great Carson Archives or whatever the hell they call it. You'll catch even things like this is in L.A. It's Johnny at the desk, and you'll have this name will mean nothing to you. George Gobel is in the first seat, and then you've got the Rat Pack sitting and Ed McMahon at the end. All of those huge names of the day, and they're all smoking, drinking, and just shooting one-liners back and forth with everybody.
Oh, I want to be alive.
And there's some. And seriously, if you can find, like, that's another thing I'll watch on YouTube forever is old Johnny
Carson clips. Absolutely.
And you'll just, and like, Chara was on like every fucking 5 minutes. And it turns out she wasn't older like I thought when I was a kid.
Such a child.
She was like 15 or 16 years old with these dirty old men.
Right. Yeah.
And they were all drunk, and she wasn't even old enough to like drive yet.
But
she was this hoochie-coochie singer, but she would keep up with the jokes, and she was funny.
Early 80s, Jane Fonda is on. And Jane Fonda is sitting in the first seat right next to the desk. And so, I forget the whole scenario.
Oh, it's way earlier than that.
I thought it was early 80s.
No,
You think it's in the 70s?
I think it's in the 70s.
Regardless, she's sitting there, and she has a cat on her lap.
Yeah.
And she says, this is late-night TV, and it was not bleep. She says, do you want to pet my pussy? And Johnny Carson says, yeah, if you move that damn cat. They used
it's
to get
like, in the butt, Bob. In the butt.
What's the craziest place you ever had sex? Made whoopee.
Yeah.
In the butt, Bob. Whoa, not what I was asking, but thanks.
I just Googled that after one of our nights here.
Oh, we got plenty of time.
In the butt.
But there again, back
I'm
in the day,
Burt Reynolds
guest
and
host.
And Charo.
Guest.
Oh, and Burt Reynolds was always charming because he was good. And that's one of those things. Remember when Burt Reynolds was good?
Yeah, and now he's old. But hey, it doesn't matter.
And I do have to do a plug because I know it's getting a
Speaking
lot
of Burt Reynolds and plugs?
Yes. Oh. A lot of and well
Pikachu.
He just wore a toupe. Pikachu. It's getting a lot of burn from the gay community, and everybody's just down on it looking on HBO. And it's paired with Girls, which is having its most abysmal minutes. I stopped watching, too, I guess. I just reached a point of, like, there's enough good things on TV. I don't have to watch this bitch go. I mean, I don't want to say something misogynistic about her, but I don't think she's a very good writer anymore or actress or needs to be nude. But after it is looking.
Okay.
And it's about three gay friends in San Francisco-ish. They don't spend a lot of time as three gay friends. Like, they're not constantly at the hip. The stories are mostly about three different people's lives. And it's Jonathan Groff, who is from Spring Awakenings, and he was on Glee.
Amazing.
Lea Michele's real-life best friend. He is the main gay guy. He's, you know, late 20s, youngish, innocent. Like, he's in the Simi Valley tech world. And He's a little bit naive, but it's no coming out. It's no politics. There's no drama. They're all out. They're all gay. They're all proud. They're all happy. Everyone's living their lives just at different levels of what they want to do. And he's looking. He is the title character. He's looking for love in a difficult part of his life. And he has a bad date. He has a couple really bad dates that were kind of funny if you've ever been on a really bad date where someone just took what you like. You tried to make a joke, and it just
his date with the doctor was so awkward.
Just crashed and burned, or like you're just out with someone, and you think, "Oh, we're having fun," and you realize, "Oh my god, they're having a terrible time. I have to get out of here." Like, I'm having a delightful time, but you're horrified by everything I'm doing. So I'm just gonna go. But they have all these dates, and then his old roommate just moved in with his boyfriend, and they moved to Oakland. They don't live in the city anymore. And they're having, like, their version of suburban and all kinds of, like, little mini crises. But none of them are like, am I gay? Am I not? Like, there's no coming out to
this. No, there's no, yeah.
There's no drama, but they're just gay guys that are perfectly comfortable with being gay. They're just working on relationships or life and everything. So it's kind of weird. And I don't think that's ever been portrayed before, where it's like somebody doesn't have to like climb some mountain to be gay. They're just gay. It's like the least interesting thing about all of them. And the third one's kind of a man whore, little bit of a he's a little bit older. He's still in the service industry. He's a little bit bitter. He wants to do something else. But he's really good at being a man whore. He's really good in the service industry. He's good at everything he does. So he's kind of at a conflict of like, well, like everybody wants me to do something else, but I'm pretty fucking good at this.
Stay with it.
So it's, and it's funny because like somebody was like, I don't know any of these people. I'm like, well, the one person is my friend Justin, except for he's single and my friend Justin has never been single. Or he was for like 20 minutes one day on a Thursday. The man whore guy is just Tim. And he even looks like Tim to make it worse. It's just Tim. And then the third guy, I'm sure I'll meet him eventually, the one that moved to Oakland. I mean, like, they're so relatable.
Yeah.
And then his one date went really badly because he meets this hot Hispanic guy who's the bouncer.
Why was that date so bad? I didn't get it. I didn't get why that date was so bad.
Because he just tried to make a joke. Like, my friends were saying, you're a hot Hispanic guy, and was I ready for an uncut cock? And he's like, and the guy's like, is that all I am to you? It's like, you just want to see my cock? And he's like, no, I'm just like, and he's so goofy and he's
such a dork.
He doesn't know how to sell it.
Like an affable, cute, like,
yeah, really
guy.
Cute dork that tried to be dirty and funny when he's not dirty or funny.
But his friends are.
But his friends are.
So his friends said it and it was normal.
It was normal and funny when it sells short. Well, then they run into each other later. And I've missed them running into each other later. Yeah, they run into each other later.
Because they had that bad date and he left in the morning or whatever. And that was so awkward.
Yeah. So they did their business, and then last night or Sunday night's episode was just one day in the life of getting to know somebody. And they decide that the one guy's going to call in sick to work, and they're just going to go be tourists in San Francisco and just go show each other their favorite spots in San Francisco.
So cool.
Well, they have just a conversation that you would have with somebody who you're getting to know and you're sexually attracted to. Like, they talk about, like, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? What are your thoughts on this? Like, what makes you normal? What's a top? What's a bottom? And they go to all these interesting places. And it was like, it was such a genuine, it wasn't exciting television. It certainly wasn't like, oh my God, I got to rewind. It wasn't like outwardly, you weren't laughing
out loud. Just a normal conversation.
So I want to share, I was just looking on my Facebook. So my friend Justin Unga, who I think you guys know Justin.
Yes, I do.
Wrote after this, he said, judging by the first episode of HBO's Looking, non-gay people will call this provocative and button pushing. They'll love it. Gay men will wonder why someone made a show about them ordering coffee and doing laundry.
It's a good point.
Yeah. It is just,
you know,
life.
The Wilk watches like Glee. He's like, oh my God, why is the?
It's over the top. It's too much.
Yeah, he dresses like a freak. Why isn't there a show about me? So then he said that about Looking because like somebody had a three-way, and I'm like,
but okay, guys have three-ways.
But just so ask the girls, around the, like the next time you're at a cocktail party with four gay friends and one of them ask who's had a three-way, they're all gonna raise
their
hands.
And their three-way was not like crazy. It wasn't like, oh my God, shock fest, look at this. It was like, it felt very organic to watch it.
It did.
Like, that this is what would this could normally
and
happen.
And you saw it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it was telegraphed from like 500 miles away. It's like, okay, here's these two guys that are kind of working together. They're kind of flirty.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to cheat, but he brings his boyfriend in. And the boyfriend has the same thing of like, this guy's really cute and we're all kind of flirty. And now we've had a couple drinks. So maybe we play a little bit.
But it was not like, it wasn't like filthy.
It was
very organic, and like, this is something that happens in gay male culture, like and in relationships.
And honest to God,
well,
get in touch with gay male culture, because sex with two people is possible.
But am I wrong?
I honest to God felt that. And so when Doug was all offended by it at first, I'm like,
leave the house.
I was like,
leave the house.
Open door, step outside.
Pikachu, Clayton.
Oh,
let me Pikachu. Let me Pikachu.
I'm all kinds of singing today. So, but this date was it was just such a precious little 30 minutes of television that I really just related to on every level. Like, everybody's been in that point of a relationship where you just kind of like, okay, we've had some great sex. Now we're going to do the getting to know each other and we're just going to hang out for a day and like,
just get coffee.
And
do laundry.
And the really cute thing was...
I do a lot of laundry in this house for some reason. I really do.
The Jonathan Groff character, I don't even know his name. I think his name is Shane, maybe. Possibly. Maybe I made that up.
I definitely do not think it's Shane.
I don't. So, yeah, that sounds completely wrong now that I say it out loud. So he says to his cute boyfriend, he's like, now you pick... When they're trying to pick what they're going to do for the day, he's like, I called in sick to work. So this better be fucking good. And he takes them to the planetarium in San Francisco. And they're sitting there and they're looking at the stars and they're like kind of cuddling and talking. And the boyfriend tells him like why it's special to him and what as a child made him love this place and why it's his favorite place. And they're both looking at the stars. And I love it when people like live in the world that we live in. And he goes, this is kind of like Ross and Rachel's date where they tried to have sex the first time. And I was like, oh my God, it is. Yeah. Like that is the episode of Friends where Ross takes her to the planetarium.
Yeah.
So they have a whole Ross and Rachel conversation.
It is so good. It is good.
It really was cute because I'm like, you can't pretend that you live in a world where Friends didn't happen. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's not possible.
Right.
In our lifetime. I
mean? Friends happened everywhere.
It's kind of like when in Ocean's 12 when Julie Roberts shows up. Like, she doesn't live in a world when they have to do the caper and they're like, well, I think we should play out the fact about who she looks like. And everybody was like, yeah, but that's kind of weird that she looks like her. And she's like, we know she's pregnant right now, so we should probably add that in. And because they don't live in a world where Julia Roberts doesn't exist. Oh. Like, they're not living in some kingdom where, like, Julia Roberts is not the biggest movie star in the world. So we're not going to acknowledge that this one looks kind of like Julia Roberts. So there's a whole joke through Ocean's 12 about Julia Roberts looking like Julia Roberts, and maybe we should exploit that and put some, you know, she's not exactly the same, and maybe she's not as pretty, but she looks kind of like her, so throw some sunglasses on her and make her fake pregnant. And I'm like, that's genius. People were like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Who lives in a world without Julia Roberts?
Right.
Like, think about, we have to go back like 30 years to get to that point. She can't be born.
No pretty woman. No pretty woman can ever exist.
There's a whole lot of different things happening.
Right.
I just love that little pop culture reference. That
Sleeping with the Enemy. That's the one I was thinking of.
Ooh,
that movie gets me all the time.
Good one.
So, Al, we're wrapping up. Katie, we ready for you?
We're ready.
Hello!
This week in sports and other stuff, we've got gay football players right here in Arizona.
Yay!
What?
Pikachu!
We've got some really impressive special needs athletes on the horizon.
I heard that.
We've got some Olympics in sports.
And other stuff.
So I wrote...
Gay football players here?
It's shocking,
like,
I know.
Like in the valley.
They exist. It's
here
shocking.
In town. Well, yeah, this is going to be an exciting hour.
Well, and I wish that I could... I have tried and tried to find it. I saw it on the news, and I cannot find the reprint anywhere on the internet.
Okay.
It's an athlete. It's a high school athlete in Santan Valley and came out as gay to his teammates. He's a football player. And it seems it's so kind of mundane to them. He's a really good player.
Queen Creek High School football player. That's it right there?
Is that the one?
Stand by. Keep going. I'll read on.
Okay.
Oh, no. It's Combs High School. Santan Valley.
Yes, Santan Valley.
Freshman football.
But it's not about special needs, though. Does that one talk about special needs?
I don't know. You keep going. I'll read on.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So, basically, high school player... Comes out as gay.
Is this a slightly older story or is this really recent?
I saw it on the news last week. I wrote it down. Okay. Yeah, just after our show last week. So it's been between when we met last week and now. And it's just really, really cool. And it's just really setting the stage and it's making waves for. And this kid came out on the heels of Michael Sam coming out nationally. And he said, you know what, to his team. And it's so cool because... I know that this is going to make people like throw eggs at me and look bad, but he doesn't look gay.
You can shoot them after because they'll stand your ground.
You're allowed to. That's right. You feel threatened, shoot me. But he doesn't look gay. He doesn't come across as gay. I mean, he's like a big buff dude who plays high school football.
That's usually, now it's turned into that's who has to come out.
Yeah, but it's really...
The Nelly ones like me have already done it.
Everyone knows that the theater boys are gay.
And look at the good you've done.
Everybody knows.
You.
Yeah, so it's really, really exciting that this kid... And he told his teammates are being supportive, his school is being supportive, his coaches, and they did this news story on it and featured the whole school and it's really cool. And he's like, you know what, look, it doesn't have anything to do with who I am. I mean, as we all know,
but
I'm gay, I play football, and so that's what's up. So, and he even said, I hope that I make it even a little bit easier maybe for another high school football player that is questioning or wanting to kind of be his true self. So really, it was a very cool story.
And I used to work with a woman who was often confused as a lesbian with her best friend due to their haircuts. But
Unfortunate styling.
Stylistic choices. Yeah,
exactly. Because I'm Pikachu, and I thought, I was peeking at you, and I thought she was a lesbian. So, and she went on to a, and I just happened to catch it because I saw, like, blah, 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 commented. You know how there's that running news feed on the side of your Facebook? So I just wanted to see what she had to say, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird that she would have an opinion on someone coming out. And it was, like, 40 celebrities ago.
Yeah.
And it might have been, like, Jason Collins or something like that. And she was like, I don't get the what, and thinking she was anonymous, that no one would ever find her as comment number 4,362 on this story. Well, I just happened to see that she had commented and went right after her. And I'm like, you know what? You, of all people, who's constantly being confused for a lesbian, like, you have two choices. You can either have a positive story of a positive role model coming out to children, or you can listen to Christian TV or people like you that are like, why do you got to announce that? Because they're going to get persecuted. So you might want to hear that there's other people to rely on and have a positive fucking role model out there, especially for a did you say freshman?
I don't think he's a freshman. Okay. No. I think he's a junior or senior. He's an upperclassman.
Okay. But still, so an upperclassman. So there's a 15-year-old that's sitting at home
possibly
that's having a rough day, and you're like, oh, I'm not alone. People don't hate me. I can go talk to that guy. Right. All I have to do is go up and say, hi, you know what I mean? It's a new ally for these people. Yeah.
It's so important. Hugely important.
It really is.
And,
this defensive player, who I can't say enough about, Michael Sam. Amazing story.
Yeah, really, really exciting. And I don't, the draft hasn't happened yet.
No, it's in May.
Okay,
but perfect. Number one defensive.
Hoping as the sports reporter here on the show with Clayton McKee, I hadn't missed that one. Pikachu.
But number one defense player of the year, like, voted. I like that he waited till he got the...
Yeah.
And defense player, I'm not running and catching the ball. I'm keeping you motherfuckers down. And
we talked about it last week, but there were some coaches that had some better marks, and there were some really honest folks you wouldn't suspect, some sports reporters you would really think were going to be hateful that said, hey, whoa, you can't call this guy bad now. You called him the greatest 2 weeks ago. Now he's gay, and you're saying, well, he's not that good.
You know?
So it's really good. You saw a lot of sports reporters coming to his defense and going, this is
bullshit.
And the
guy that's going viral everywhere.
Yeah, he's an old white guy from, like, Tennessee or Texas.
And
I really
thought that was going to be bad. Texas. I hesitated to
watch
it. Wait,
you know what, the sportscaster?
The sports...
Yeah. Texas, phenomenal.
I thought we talked about that maybe last week, but forgive me if we
didn't. I don't think we did.
He's the one that makes the comment about, years ago, black players couldn't be permitted into the NFL because it would be uncomfortable.
And what's really special is that it's an old white guy with a big shock of white hair, and, you know, it says he has an opinion on Michael Sam coming out. I was the same way. I thought, I don't know if I can watch this. But I'm just going to do it. And when he gets up there and he is totally on Michael Sam's side and he's like, go fuck yourselves, all of you.
And very profound. I thought it wasn't just supportive. I thought that's because he's
really
the one that
thoughtful.
Says, like, think it through. And then he was on Ellen, I think, 2 days ago.
Oh, I didn't
Dale Hansen is his name.
He was a guest on Ellen, like, in the last day or two. I haven't watched that clip yet, but that's making the rounds.
Yeah, he's.
Thank God for viral videos. What would we do? What did we used to do? Did you just have to wait for me to tell you to watch something?
Call people. We would call people.
But you couldn't watch it with no viral videos. What are you going to do?
Oh, fuck.
Going back to just briefly in regards to the Jimmy
Santin.
Talking about videos and being able to see things. I meant to tell you in this. I'm debating about doing a second DVR in this house because
DVR.
Well, only because I record Letterman every night. Now I have to record Fallon every night. There's too many other things.
I have a DVR at my house that I haven't bothered to take back. So you can just take that one and hook it up.
It'll have to go back, go through their process.
Yeah,
and come back.
It doesn't work.
Oh, because I mean, eventually, maybe tomorrow. I have errands to run tomorrow in that
region. Just take it back. I'll get a new one.
So I might take it back.
But to that point, the fact that, like I said, I'm so thrilled you can go back and look at things because it's unfortunate that some things had been said and there was no way previous to ever go back and be able to absorb it for yourself.
To come full circle. These interwebs are genius.
I know. Whatever these devices are that I'm not
crazy.
Familiar
Isn't
with.
Isn't it nutty?
And I have to say how I learned to absolutely love them and it's why I'm so fascinated with, like, listening to old news reports because I want to hear what they said on the day, not the news spin. Like, 2 weeks ago you said he was the greatest player ever and you were, like, extolling his virtues and now he's like, eh. I want to go. Gay. I want to go back and watch right. that one Here's where you couldn't said. Shut up about him and you were practically, you know, jacking him off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. before he was gay, and that was super weird and uncomfortable.
Pikachu right. and
yeah.
him in the bushes.
Yeah,
that really is a fun word. God bless, so, God bless the ghetto.
Philadelphia,
but the Daily Show. The Daily yes. Show always calling back to like, oh, so yeah. you don't like this person?
I love that.
Here it is. Oh,
yeah, they're good. They're good. So the Philadelphia 76ers sign teen Kevin Groh in a special contract.
I heard this. It's very cute.
So great. This may be a first for the NBA. On Monday, the 76ers signed 18-year-old Kevin Groh to a special two-day contract, inviting the Pennsylvania high school senior with Down syndrome to take his game to the full-size court. It all started when Groh, who serves as a Benslem High School basketball manager, stepped in and played two varsity games at the end of his season. The teen scored 3 points in his first game and sunk 4 3-pointers during his second game last week. That's when the Sixers president and general manager Sam Hinkie took note. Hinkie watched videos of Groh's incredible plays and decided to sign the 18-year-old. So incredible.
Wow, that's nice.
As a ceremonial member of the team, Groh will receive his own custom jersey and will also accompany the team for practices and meals. They had some really awesome Instagram photos of him working out with the team and stretching and warming up. Everybody's proud of what you have done and what you've accomplished is sensational, said the coach, Brett Brown. He's set to take the court Tuesday night for a special presentation before the Sixers' home game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's really exciting if you maybe I could put this on our website because it actually shows some of the games at his high school where he was scoring points and just, you know, it's one of those like feel good sports stories where you see a lot more of that lately in local high school level athletics and even elementary school where kids are sticking up for the underdogs and giving them their time to shine. So that's a good feeling story.
And you kind of want to root for if he's an official member of the team in quotes, but you want them to do really well and like win like their division championship or just win.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, win the NBA finals because then he gets a ring and he gets to be part of the ceremony. Mm-hmm. Like, and he got to play a couple games.
Yes,
he gets 2 days.
He's shooting. He's doing their shoot arounds, their warm ups. It's really cool.
And so he has it's just nothing but unedited joy for him.
Oh,
that's all.
God.
That's all those kids are.
Yes.
Anybody that has the misfortune of having that is to be saddled with that, they're all just happy.
Yeah.
All of
uh-huh.
them.
It's really
everybody
true.
Gets hugs. Everybody's happy. There's nothing really. There's nothing ever bad unless you're Becky from Glee, which yes. that's a staged bad because,
and she is so good
but she's still, a great actress.
What a great opportunity for her too. I mean it's hard, you know, it's hard for kids with Down syndrome to kind of make their way in life, and so good for them.
So many doing so well
to be able to do so well,
and he clearly has Ryan Murphy has a want, a desire to employ
I wonder what that
actresses
is.
Because there's an actress on American Horror Story, yeah. and she's in the first and the third
through,
season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And in the third season, she's one of the witches. She has a crush on a guy. She's a little bit evil. Like, she's not just playing the, oh, we're all better because we know somebody with special needs. Like, she's a little bit evil. She's a little bit of a bitch. She has a little bit of a storyline. She kills Patti LuPone.
He has the Becky character.
Oh, you must love that.
The Becky character
and Sue Sylvester's sister.
Yeah. So there's a lot of follow through.
True.
But and she, you know, she doesn't just, you know, she has to live.
She's like a character.
She's got special needs. Like, he killed that bitch off in Coven. Like, actually, he killed her off in both seasons. In the first season, it was gruesome. And I was like, how brave a choice tonight. You've employed her. You didn't just give her a character where she's just the sibling that makes everybody feel better about themselves because they met somebody.
She was
that
a crazy bitch in season one.
Oh, it's season one. She was crazy bitch, like breaking into people's houses. She was part of
the
horror.
She was freaky, Madiki.
And then he just killed her the fuck off. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Like, no restraints at all. Like, like everybody else. Just went to her as an actress and said, what do you want to play? Yeah. I got this crazy shit script.
So I'm curious.
Where do you want to take this?
I've Googled before about Ryan Murphy's interest or connection with maybe Down syndrome or special needs characters, special needs people. I haven't found what that connection is, but I wonder if there's something, because he always employs special needs folks in his
And does it in the best possible way of giving them a full arc, and you know they don't have to be Tom Cruise and live and make everybody happy.
Right. So Olympics. Now the Olympics, it ends on February 23rd. So we have 1 week left of the Olympics, which I'm like Al, I've been watching a lot of it, and I've not been doing the sports network, but I have been doing the DVR. The on demand,
yeah.
The NBC on demand.
And now,
channel.
An on demand, is it the? Because it's very strange. If you watch, cause I've been doing so much figure skating. I personally
have you really?
I've been triple toe looping my way around my house.
twizzle.
I know a twizzle. I know a good twizzle when I see it now. Yeah. But I have to tell you, like, if you watch it online, it's the British commentators. Yeah. If you watch Sports Network, it's Johnny Weir, and at night it's Scott Hamilton. So on demand, who does the calls?
On demand, you're getting either. You're getting whatever NBC put out. So if you're getting the if you're getting morning broadcasts, because they're different. I mean, you're getting morning broadcasts. Some of it's Johnny Weir, some of it is Scott Hamilton. I mean, it just kind of depends on
because
what it is.
Because the nighttime is just edited. They just take the live stuff and put it in so it fits around skiing. You don't see any. You're missing like 15 to 20 skaters.
You're just kind of getting various. What they're doing is just like chunks, right? So you're getting like this chunk and then this chunk of sports. And so what I've not been watching a whole lot of edited stuff. It's just.
Because tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. our time, and tomorrow morning is ladies figure skating with Johnny Weir, which I cannot even tell you how excited I am to get up and find out what he wears to ladies figure skating.
Lady Weir.
But the Lady Weir at lady figure skating is where my life will become
so complete. It's very similar to what you're finding on NBC Online, which is like they'll kind of do the same thing. And you're getting like a mix of both of that. You're getting a mix.
Okay.
But I've actually been having a lot of trouble, and maybe you can help me. Okay, so the last Thursday, I had my girlfriends over. We were watching the Olympics in the background of playing Bunko. First of all, the slope-style skiing is stupid.
Don't you wish you could do it?
It is yes! We were, like, playing Bunko. The slope-style is the jumps and the rails and the hitting the jumps.
Like watching people in the park. You know when you go to a park and you watch people on, like, skateboards slide down the banisters and do crazy shit? It's that, but 50 feet up
on fucking skis. Oh, and backwards.
And then they got to touch the Russian doll.
Stupid.
Did you see that?
Yes.
There's this giant Russian
crazy.
Fucking doll. And if they hit the doll as they fly
like, get
by
extra
it on
points.
A rail, you get an extra point.
It's like a video game course.
Stoner sport.
It's amazing. So as my girlfriends and I were over and we're watching these guys like fly through the air and then land backwards. We're all screaming. And I mean, it was a really, really, really fun. So slope style was the bomb. And as a matter of fact, what I have pulled up, I have all kinds of crazy stuff all over the place here about Olympics. But slope style, we made history. This is, I think this is the first time slopestyle ski has been
in the
an Olympic sport.
Yes.
And the U.S. claimed 1, 2, 3 in men's slopestyle skiing.
And they were
really, really
amazing.
Exciting. Joss Christensen. Wait, why do I have Joss Christensen? There's three of them. Anyway, it was really super exciting. And it was just really incredible. There was another skier from another country who was flying through the air. And while he's doing so, his pants were falling down.
Oh, was he from Japan?
I think Japan. Because he had like these really weird long dreads. He was like a tiny little.
But they didn't fall down in a sexy way. He had too much underwear on. Because I watched it over and over again to see if I could see any Japanese crack in there.
No, no Japanese crack happening there.
But the best. Now, I don't know if you followed it. Because I watched it live. So it wasn't prepackaged like they do at night. But what he did during
it at night.
What they did over the course of the day was they found out that I think it's the silver medalist. I'm 99% sure it's him. He kept hearing the story about the dogs in Sochi being rounded up and exterminated. So he found a dog that gave birth to a litter, and he made all the arrangements to take the entire litter.
Bring them home, right?
Yeah. Home to the U.S., which from a foreign country is a big fucking deal.
Yeah, but he's like, bitches, I want a silver. Checkmate. I'm taking some dogs.
So first he did this wonderful thing to all the people that were very concerned about all the inhumanity to dogs going on there. And he adopted them all. And then like a couple hours later, he won the silver
medal.
And
he's cute.
Oh, and he's a
really
fucking
cute.
And they're all stoners.
Yeah, they're so cute.
They are so funny. The guy that won the I can't remember if he's the one that won where the Flying Tomato lost. Who's Sean?
Oh, Sean White.
Sean White. I can't remember if it was him or the guy that won the slope style, because it was an American that won the slope style
snowboard. Yep.
And they were talking about, and he's like, it's really funny to be here. Like, everybody's so serious about training. He's like, I was just sitting in the room watching the stuff on TV and eating some snacks and hanging
well,
out.
Well, you know that the
snowboarders, like, so clearly they are not testing them for pot.
No, oh. And Shaun White and these snowboarders, I mean, they, you know, and but like snowboarders, I mean, I ski. I see these guys out on the mountain, and yes, they might train hard, but they are all like long-haired. Dope. They're smoking like pot on the mountain, and
they
then
got a
they're
big
just
blunt
skiing
in their mouth while they're doing it.
It's like literally, Al. It's the thing I keep thinking of as I'm watching these guys win gold medals, and I'm like, I ski with these assholes, and everybody is just like smoking pot and having fun, yeah. And that's how they all start. Like nobody starts out snowboarding going, I'm going to train very regimentedly, and I'm going to win an Olympic gold medal. No. They're like, let's
I'm
going to
get stoned enough to do a quadruple.
It's
no,
crazy.
They don't call them quadruples. They call them like 1400.
Yeah. Oh, they. Yeah, it's how many rotations.
YOLOs. Yeah, 14.
YOLOs. You only live once.
No, that's what it's called. That's the thing that won the gold medal was that he landed the YOLO that Shaun White.
Yeah. Yeah,
invented, but they're so funny. They're dude.
Which he didn't
like.
He didn't land.
It's the best part of those things is
David Wise also an American considered himself a dad and husband first and a freestyle skier second, but he's also a gold medalist.
Freestyle skiing means I was too stoned to figure out what the hell you were doing, so I just got down the
mountain. It's just cool.
And we're going to call it freestyle. And the Winter Olympics were always poorly rated in the U.S. They never did very well because Americans don't do really well because we didn't escape the Nazis through the snow-filled mountains or the Germans in World War I. I swear to God, these sports are all so strange. So what we did is we invented like 20 new sports that we gold medal in every single time because we invented them stoned in Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
So all these things that we're winning gold medals and they're like, this is the third time they've ever been performed at the Olympics because we just made them up like 20 years ago by a couple stoners.
And it's really fun. I have a picture here, another girl who had fallen, a British skier who had fallen on the half pipe and suffered a concussion. And she's okay, but she had a Twitter picture of her all beaten up and bloody. And there was a snowboarder, and I don't know if it was an American. They kept showing kind of over and over. She was coming up, down on slope style, and I think it was the slope style course.
I think so too.
Yeah. And anyway, this girl lands backwards and just takes her like heel edge of her snowboard and just boom. And I mean, crashes her head backwards and rolls over, and then just is like the force of her fall drags her down the mountain, and she is completely knocked unconscious.
Oh,
it was really scary.
That was the slope style.
Really scary to watch because she's just laying there. I mean, you can see her arms are flailing, like just totally unconscious. She's okay. She's out of contention for medals or the rest
she
of the Olympics.
She may not know the alphabet,
right? But really,
Cyrillian alphabet. Google it.
but it's some crazy stuff that, you know, and I think a lot of these falls are happening, and which we talked about last week, because of the warm weather and the slush, and then now there are extra precautions being taken because of the fog and then the rain. So the weather in Sochi is a little bit fucked up for the winter
skaters
Olympics.
That are in the wrong thing, and now Under Armour's all upset.
I have that here too. Under Armour stumbles in the Olympic sponsorship. They were so excited to have their triumphant moment, but it has been anything but that after a strong showing at the World Cup. Now they have these skin suits that are supposed to be the fastest in the world. But everybody, they're like creating drag on people apparently now. And these skin suits, you know, that you see the speed skaters wear are, they're disappointing performances. And the skaters are blaming them on the skin suits.
Yeah, because the Americans are doing poorly. And now my real thing that I was going to bring up this hour is, how many of us are just fascinated by the curlers now because they're hot and they're wearing fancy pants?
Oh, I have been I watched a couple of women curlers that I'm not sure from what country.
I like the lady
curlers
too.
These ladies are fucking intense. They're like yelling things at like nothing. I don't know what they're yelling at, but they're just like screaming and they're icing.
And they glide so gracefully.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh, the person that pushes it, it's just shuffleboard on fucking ice.
Yeah.
But oh my
I don't
God.
Get this part of it.
I don't either.
Get
like,
it at all.
Are you smoothing out the ice so it moves faster this way?
They're smoothing the ice to clear that.
So it moves faster or slower?
Are there causes of
sometimes it looks like it's going really
fast. They stop brushing.
Right, because that breaks it. So, because the goal is to get to be at the center point of that thing. Right.
It's shuffleboard. I mean, it basically is shuffleboard.
It is. With a big, heavy, is it marble? Is it a marble thing?
No, it's made out of stone found in Scotland, according to Mary Carilla.
Okay. Oh, thanks, Mary Carilla.
All things Mary Carilla. Google it.
Pikachu. Google that, too. But that's how they speed it up or slow it down based on that brushing.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. They brush the shit out of it. It heats makes up that ice smooth. For just a second, and it makes it just glass. Right. And then when they stop, there's a little residual drag or friction that's caused, and that slows it down.
You're either watching that or watching Mary Carillo.
Well, but yours is good. You're the.
Nope. I just know how curling works.
You're into figure skating. I like the slope style, and you're the curler. That's good. We got our own thing.
I like to be the curler.
Unashamedly into all of it because the curling has been getting me because those fucking. Is it Norway that they're all so goddamn hot and those pants are so
I am not
cute?
Paying attention to the hot Norway curlers, but I also love the ski jump. It's all good. I will give you, before we cut, our medal tracker. The Netherlands are in the lead with 20 medals, six of which...
They ran the fastest from the Nazis.
...are...
And Germany in World War I.
Perfect. Good.
Not a lot of Jews in this.
U.S.
Nope,
is in second place with 20 medals, six of which are also gold. But they have more silvers. We have more bronze. Followed by Russia, Norway, Canada, Germany.
We're number two now.
We're number two.
Oh, 20 medals. Big jump. There is. I think the Israelis are figure skaters. But there's only a few. And the story about the Philip. And you would love him. He is the cutest fucking thing on feet. Male figure skater from the Philippines. He was the only athlete from the Philippines. He carried the flag. He taught himself to skate, watching TV, and his mother became his coach because he was so good. Then finally someone in the Philippines saw him because there's only two ice rinks in all of the Philippines, and the two ice rinks are paying for him to go to the Olympics on no money, taught himself, and all. He doesn't want to win, no intention of making the top 10. He just, because you have to qualify to get to the long program, he just needed to finish 24th out of 30th to do his long program. And he did. And they didn't do the whole build-up. It was just Johnny Weir and whatever.
What's his name? I have to look it up
immediately. Terry, whatever his name is.
Filipino.
His name's... and he is adorbs. Totes Magos.
Totes Magos.
he is the cutest fucking thing. And you find out he learned all the jumps from watching TV.
I love him.
I will look him up.
And he's adorable.
I will look him up.
And I just want... I want him to get one of those... What's the things where you raise money for a movie... What's that new thing? The go-go
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. I want a Kickstarter campaign to pay for his next Olympics. Because he's only like 16 or 17.
All you have to do is start it. Tag it to him. You'll be good. You'll figure it out. Yep. 952 Studio C. We're coming back at you in just, I don't know, 57 seconds with more of this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
I'll get it for you.
Okay, well, it's in his honor. So, in honor of the guy that had his funeral in a bar, would you rather have no one show up to your wedding or to your funeral? Like, which would you rather be better attended?
Oof, that's tough, because I like to be the center of attention. So, I think
Shocker.
I would like it, like, I don't know. That's kind of a hard question. It shouldn't be, but...
It's interesting, isn't it?
I want people to be there at my wedding, because then I'm just going to be straight embarrassed. Let's be real. But if no one's at my funeral, I'm also going to be embarrassed, but I won't be around to know it. So did it happen?
Yeah.
It's like if a tree falls in the forest.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it happen if no one's at my funeral? No, honestly, I think that I would be... I'd be more offended. What was the question? Can you please repeat the question?
Jesus Christ.
Would you rather have...
You were a Pikachu.
Would you rather have no one show up to your wedding or a funeral? So not offended.
I would rather have no one show up to my wedding.
Okay.
I think I'd be in the same boat.
I would too. And you know what? The first thing when I saw this
not
question...
Not because I don't plan on having a wedding. It's just I'd rather know that I made a difference and somebody was saddened that of my departure.
Like we wish she was... We're happy she for her life.
Right. And...
Marnie says, chili cook-off, Winks, 2004.
Via text, Marnie has joined the show. 3 hours late, but it's fine.
Well, she's right on time for Marnie. So I missed the follow-up because of the dinging in my ear. So what?
No, I would rather know that my life meant something to other people, that they were saddened by my departure. I mean, yeah, we all have great moments in our lives. If there was a wedding, it would be a happy moment, blah, blah, blah. But I think I'd rather know of an outpouring from people who were more upset that I was no longer there than to have been part of a wedding that apparently everybody has every 7 minutes these days.
Oh,
that's true.
Because one of my concerns in life is that I will have, when I die, I will have not done enough to have made a difference. That's one of the things I think about.
Oh. I think you've done enough. I would say you have already. But okay. Yeah. I think you've done a lot.
Yeah. I took this completely different because I'm like, I wouldn't invite anybody to either. Like, if I had a wedding, I really don't think I would invite anybody, because from that episode of Looking last night when they were like walking down and talking about getting married, and they're both like, well, yeah, I guess. And I was like, I guess if someone wanted to get married, I would do it. But I'm like, but I really wouldn't want to like say I'm going to be with this person forever in front of people, because they can hold it against me when I change my mind.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
I'd like to do this privately, and I don't know. I just think that to me, a wedding would be like that. And a funeral, I'm not going to invite anybody. So, but I would hope people would just show up at the funeral because they're like, well, I heard he's dead,
and he was fun.
Either they want proof.
Yeah.
or they really would like to pay respect.
I'd like a picture in the coffin. I'd like a selfie in the coffin.
Yeah, can I? Hey, Al.
Yeah.
Do a little selfie with the dead guy and the bald dead woman, the lady Al.
The lady Missy.
Lady Missy. Missy. Yeah, lady Missy. Lady Missy Al. She's gone.
That thing just keeps going. Okay. Wait. Okay, so when was the last time somebody really made your day?
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's pretty simple. I can't even recall the specifics, but yes, I can. I was working last Wednesday night. I had a meeting, and I had was hosting Bunko on Thursday, and I came home from a meeting, and Kelly had cleaned the house and, like, gotten things ready for my Bunko group.
Oh,
she made
nice.
My day. Yeah.
It's really. Always something simple.
Yeah, she just picked up the house.
It can be something right. simple, yeah.
So that was it. In my day.
Well, congratulations for you, because I can't. That's really hard to think of. Who really made my day? Wow. I'm sure there are things that, but I'm really drawing a blank on this.
I'll skip ahead. So okay. I
have one. So come to me.
Right.
And I'm just reading. I mean, these questions are just coming up. Like I'm not. I have no forethought with them. So a couple weeks ago. I was working, and we had just a moment that was only funny if you were there or you do what I do, and it just I thought I stabbed somebody. I was under the impression that I had stabbed somebody and was going to lose my job and probably go to jail for the rest of my life
what?
For stabbing
this
somebody.
Happened?
Yeah. So then it turns out, nope, I didn't stab them. There was just a little bit of blood, and I was holding a knife, but they weren't related stories. So the guy that was standing there as a witness went from looking like he was going to shit his pants to just laughing. And then we just could not stop laughing about it because it was so tense. So we ended up finishing off a long week together with like a big laugh, and we were so slap happy. And I texted a friend of mine the next day, and I'm like, are you working? Because I wanted her to do something for me. And she's like, no. I'm like, well, if remind me to tell you about the stabbing. So a couple days ago, we're working together, and she's like, it's been a shit night. She's like, is that stabbing story funny? And I'm like,
oh my God, it's hilarious.
It's funny.
Yeah.
So I'm luckily working with the same guy. We're telling the story, and we're like killing ourselves laughing. And she was like, I was hoping it was a funny story. She's like, that's all I needed was just to have somebody make me laugh after a tense day. And that just made my day. Like, here was this thing that was kind of just silliness, but it made her day. She was like, I went from wanting to cry to like sitting
which
here
watching. Which is great, because then that
the
made
you
your
laugh,
day.
And she, yeah, and it really did. It made my day that.
That's cool.
That I could tell her something that was, that she should have been like, you're fired, that you were standing next to someone with a knife. And almost stabbed them, like,
and then laughed hysterically about it.
And then we all laughed about it.
And back to me, I still got nothing for who made my neighbor. So I'm sorry. I'll try and get back to you on all this. It's the show.
You can say Wings Chili Cook-Up
2004. There's that. We're wrapping up hour three. Thank you for joining us. It's Katie Al. I'm Clayton McKee. We'll be here next Tuesday night. So we will leave you with. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America.